welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Well, what do we got on tap today? Play a little Mr. Brightside. Billy West in the studio. Billy West does, he used to be on the Stern Show all the time. I guess he told us about 11 years ago. I thought it'd been less than that, but time flies.
Ren and Stimpy
does all the voices you know and love. Funny guy, having him back on the show. Also, the guys from Orange County Choppers, the Tuttles, going to be on the program. American Chopper. Name of their show. It says Choppers here. Is it American Choppers? Is it Choppers?
I think it's Chopper.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Well, you know, it's weird. I always think it's something, but then if I read it, it's just official. Well, I must not have been. You know, I'll think of the name of the movie. I always screw up. But anyway, Dave's got his jerk list going on. Plenty to go on. Big Tad's got a call in. He's in Reno. He went there to watch a man die. Why'd he go there? Oh, they went there to watch Tad die eating ribs.
That's right.
All right. So what to talk about at this early hour? Well, I had a interesting experience last night. But I set two alarms. Not because I'm not one of these people that sets one alarm and then puts the other alarm on the other side of the room and then has a running cascade of water that they have to pass through in order to get to it. In order, like the people have to trick themselves into waking up. I find that interesting when you have to trick yourself. Sort of. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll reach over and I'll smack the snooze bar, and then I'll just keep smacking it. I'll be 2 hours. You're saying aisle. Mm-hmm. It's one thing when you're talking about a problem child or a pest problem. You know what I mean? Well, the vermin, they come in through the access and the bottom of the house, and then they'll work their way up through the basement and get into the pantry. You're talking about you. It's interesting. People talk, you know what I'll do? Whether you're drunk or whether you're asleep, it's interesting that you'll say me. Yes. Well, why don't you? You know the guy who's talking right now? Yeah, same guy. Go ahead and control yourself. Wow. I'm not that guy, but I'll do two alarms just because I do the I'm not sure if there's going to be a power outage in any whatever. I have the one little battery operated one. Let's talk about. It's a little kitchen timer. It's digital. It's not, you know, shaped like an egg, and it doesn't go tick tick tick, and you don't have to turn it over every half hour and let the sand run to the other side of the hourglass. It's just a little. It's digital. They're about $9. You can get them at any supermarket or drugstore, whatever. You just go to the part where they sell the spatulas and the pot holders, and you do, or the Tupperware, whatever. And you just, I just do the math every night. If I'm going to bed at midnight, it's click click click. 5 hours, 42 minutes. Boom. That's a joke. But it's not far off.
If I'm going Notice to, none of us laughed.
Yeah, I know. If I'm hey, you do the math. I get up around 5, a little before 5, so if I'm going to bed at 11, I'll just punch in 6 hours, and whatever it is, that's what you punch in. It's good if you get up at different times, but it's also good as a little backup, and it's great for napping. Well, the battery went out on the thing, and I didn't know it. Somewhere in the middle of the night, the battery went out on it. And then as far as my clock alarm went, the volume was set all the way down. I don't know who did that, but I had no alarm. Luckily, I just woke up when I normally wake up, even though I went to bed kind of late, like 11:45 or something. I just woke up my normal time because that's what I have. I have the hypervigilance. But the dream I was having when I woke up is that Brusca had put a raccoon in my bathroom.
What does it mean?
I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what I think it means. It's a sort of paranoia. I thought that Brusca thought it would be funny if if he put a raccoon in my bathroom and then shut the door
and trapped it in there with
and
you.
Trapped it in there not with me, but in the morning when I got up, stumbled into the bathroom to use the gun or brush my teeth, I'd be in there with the raccoon and hijinks would ensue. And he didn't put it in there. What he did is he left the bathroom window open. He left some food on the thing. Luckily, when I'd open the bathroom door, I'd see some tracks coming down the wall, some muddy tracks, and I realized there was vermin in there. And I was having this explanation, like how hard I worked on the house. But I'll tell you what it reminded me of. Once in a while, I think to myself, we've been burned by this before, Teresa, you especially, but everyone here. everything's sort of up for grabs because it's a morning show. So you could be having a conversation with somebody and it could be secretly being recorded, so on and so forth. You know, tricks being played.
I was just thinking that dream really is the Friday bitch bag. You're locked in a room with a vermin.
That raccoon was a bitch bag, yeah.
It's actually a good idea.
It's a good idea.
I think it's tomorrow.
I'm hilarious. I need more mic time.
Yeah, so I just woke up on my own, got out about 10 minutes late, and ran about 4 or 5 red lights.
What you got to do is get what Bruska has, is a wife who wakes you up. Then you don't have to worry about the alarm.
Yeah, he has a bacon alarm clock. Yeah. He smells bacon about 3:45 in the morning, and he knows it's time.
Yes, also
and
the
he
toaster.
He just follows it. The guy plays that weird little flute oboe thing that they use to snap.
Pied Piper?
It's what they use to charm snakes. And Bruska just floats out over the aroma down, and his feet never touch the carpet. Just flows. It's not quite it. It's higher pitch.
It starts when, he doesn't have to smack an alarm, a snooze alarm. He smacks his pregnant wife on the ass.
That's right.
Let's go, Natty. It's time to make with the breakfast. I want sausage and bacon and a nice piece of ham.
I think the toast popping up is the first thing. That's kind of like, then he presses the emotional snooze. Then mm-hmm. more toast pops up. Mm-hmm. Then he smells the bacon.
Then he hears the juicer.
She did put the coffee machine in the bedroom, by the way. So when the coffee...
Oh, my God.
I smell the coffee and it gets me up. Yeah.
Yeah, they have... Wow. Do they have alarms that smell of coffee? They have...
Oh, it's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad one because that would get me going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. By the way, something bad.
This cell phone is a good backup alarm, FYI.
Yeah, just never quite sure how to set that thing. Never quite sure what to do with that thing. But anyway, did not almost overslept this morning. Then I was watching CNN this morning, and I saw that they caught the guy in the 10 most wanted list. Warren Jeffs, the polygamous guy, or the guy who sets everyone up. And I was interested. The guy was on the 10 most wanted list. He got pulled over for traffic violation. His brother was driving the vehicle. And the cop who pulled him over just noticed that everyone in the car looked very nervous. So he pulled each guy aside and he asked the driver, "Where are you going?" And he was like, "Utah." And then he pulled Warren aside and he said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Denver." And then he called for backup. But first off, look, I don't want to aid and abet any criminals, but get on the same page. It's insulting. I saw this in Adam 12 in 1972. This oldest one. Now they had money in the car. They had
54 grand.
They had wigs in the car.
They had 15 cell phones, 4 laptops, and 3 wigs.
Right, but not one story. Actually, they had 2 stories.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They actually had extra stories. It's so easy. 95% of people that have been busted. We've talked about this. You only have to get through 1 or 2 gates, and then you're on your way. And whatever you do, if you want to lie to somebody and tell them you went to a different college, all you have to do is know the name of the football team and know the name of one hall. Oh, yeah, Dad, we used to study in Royce Hall. That's it. You're done. You're done. Unless the guy's alumni of that college, and even then, you're probably out. Mm-hmm. You're fine. Just one. You know, these guys got pulled over for having no plates on their SUV. So they're making a cross-country pilgrimage in their SUV. The guy in the back seat's on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. You have the cell phones, the wigs, the 50 grand in cash, but 0 in the license plate department. I mean, how many yards from your house do you think you're going to make it before you get pulled over in broad daylight, middle of the day, just on the interstate highway? So no license plate and then no story.
And what? Yeah, well, long road trip
or 2 stories, right? Either no stories or 2 stories. Yes, how you're dry? Evidently, they were getting in their car in Nevada, and driving to New Jersey with no license plate. I mean, you get pulled over 8 times before you got there. I don't know where if they were going to Mexico or where they were going, California, but you're going to get pulled over halfway down your driveway. Talk about peons, and they're just driving a nice SUV, and they're sort of unassuming-looking middle-aged white guys who probably wouldn't have had any trouble because the guys that pull them over, they're not going to know this guy's. You know, he's not wearing a turban, he doesn't have a bomb vest on or anything. They're going to let the guy go. Just need a license plate and a story.
Well, who's the real idiot in this then? If it took our law enforcement this long to catch this boob, who's such a who can't even figure out a
yeah the ten most wanted thing doesn't seem. I don't know what their batting average is, but the more you start hearing about the JonBenet case, and the more you hear about this kind of stuff, even though this is a victory. But it is sort of, they backed into this one. The more you hear about this stuff, and then the more you start, they start uncovering stuff about 9/11. Oh, they had the guy's computer, and somebody looked at it, but he never reported it to a supervisor. You start to wonder, maybe not the best and the brightest. And now here's a way to do the math on that. Think about people you went to high school with who got into law enforcement. Mm. Smartest kid in the class? Huh? Remember, it's always a, whatever happened to Stu Abraham? That guy was in and out of juvie, and he had his teenage... Yeah, he's a cop. Oh, wow. I guess he just got so acquainted with law enforcement after being beaten so many times by the side of the road, he finally... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not usually the class president or the guy who went to Stanford. I'm not trying to kick the good boys in blue in the shins here, but, they were a little bit smarter, probably... going to a gig where they weren't making $41K a year and getting shot at. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Nice. Yeah. TV, I think, I'm not sure, but I think TV has been about the greatest PR campaign for law enforcement, FBI, police, federal and local, there ever has been. There's just never been, because these guys, well, it's not the peon you went to high school with, it's Nick Cage.
Right.
And he's going to bust. He's bringing you down. You know what I mean? This is all you've seen. You've been fed a steady diet of this since birth, essentially. Since you're watching these cop shows in the 60s and 70s, just he gets his man, takes 42 minutes with commercials, but then he will get his man at the end of the show. Steady stream. I mean, this is all you see. In a certain way, it's like kids that are born into racist families. It's like, well, they don't know any better. Their dad's in the Klan and their mom's white trash. They've been fed this diet of this stuff. Now they're 14 and they're like, kill Blackie. And you're like, huh? And they're like, well, what are they? They're just products of this. This is how we all are with cops. This is how. And then we're shocked when we find out what goes on.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would be I would start stealing stuff out of stores and everything, but I don't want to have to deal with that Sipowicz sweat. He's a genius.
That's right.
It's a deterrent.
He's like a dog with a bone.
All right, we will. And the other one is what tremendous losers 99% of private eyes actually are. The crappy cars they drive, the effed up apartments they live in.
Wait, it's not like moonlighting?
Not so much. Not as many hot chicks in, I guess. I've seen Dog Bounty Hunter. Seen his old lady. Didn't look a lot like Sybil Shepherd circa 1986.
Well, that's
both
not
blondes.
A lot.
Both blondes.
But they're blondes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You bring up an interesting subject. The greatest disparity between the representation of an occupation
I have it.
On TV or movie versus the reality.
Doctors. Have you ever seen House? And then I was born in Kaiser Panorama City, and I don't think that people there spend hours and hours on a differential diagnosis.
No, not the Panorama City one.
Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Hooker.
Yeah.
And the pictures are beautiful. Roberts.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, journalists, they're always living in beautiful apartments and they're wealthy. Well, I've been a journalist and you make like $400 a story.
The other one which is a little misleading too, is almost every movie and every TV drama, whenever they go to the court, it's a black judge.
Yes.
Mostly black women. About 80% black women. If you watch TV, you would assume that 80% of the folks on the bench are black women in their early 50s and late 40s.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just doing some math here. If every black woman in the United States, in fact, was a federal judge, still it wouldn't be as high from a percentage standpoint as what TV. It's one of those overcompensation things.
Yeah.
Well, we've had 8 black hookers and a couple gangbangers. That make one the judge. There you go. All's forgiven.
It's common. Very common. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. What could it be in society? What percentage of black women are judges? It just can't be what it is on TV. And in general, that's a black gig, the judge, in TV,
oh, yeah.
On TV.
Yeah.
There's a handful out there in America. I got to believe it's way less than 5% of what's out there. But according to TV, it's way over 50%.
Well, in the Supreme Court, it's one of 12, Clarence
Thomas. Would be fun to run the numbers on that. The last 20 years
I don't count
TV
him as black, by the way.
No?
No, because of his attitude. I'm very liberal in that.
On Clarence Thomas?
Yeah, you're only black if you agree with certain ideologies. If you're a Republican, then you just can't be black.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I like that too, by the way. Like, that's a nice card to play. You, who's accusing everyone of being racist all the time, doesn't count Condoleezza Rice as being black. That's an interesting point.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
We will take ourselves a break. Big Tad is in Reno. I'm guessing he's coming back as soon as they can. Well, there's trouble because he has to be. He has to be transported via the C-130 Hercules aircraft, and they don't have a long enough landing strip in Reno to land that. So.
The National Guard's been sent out. See what they can do.
All right. He's there. I guess we're talking to him about hooking up with a prostitute over at the Bunny Ranch or the Chicken Ranch or one of those ranches.
Yeah, Big Ted hasn't got laid in about 3 years, and he went to Reno, and we were talking about maybe sending him to a prostitute at the Bunny Ranch. Bunny Ranch is a friend of the show, and he did not go there last night because he was judging this amateur contest.
Strip contest.
Amateur strip contest.
I love that.
And he was up late. We called him. We woke him up about 5 in the morning. Wasn't happy about that. And he said he was very close to getting laid last night, not from at the Bunny Ranch. Mm-hmm. So he'll be checking in. But, you know, the fact that he also said he didn't want to be with a prostitute because he thinks it'll make him look bad. We were kind of discussing that. And
I'll tell you what makes him eyeballs make him look bad. That's what makes him look bad. Your eyes and his mirror make him look bad. Not what's on his brag sheet. It's what's on his belly.
We were talking about though in the meeting. Like, do women do look at guys in a bad way if they
you look down upon? Yes.
And so we'd like to find that out if women are out there to call in. And also,
I was going to say, they said we learned that 70% of guys have been with prostitutes.
We were just looking at that survey, and that survey was done in the 50s or something like that. And we can't get a sampling or whatever. But
in Korea.
It's interesting to try and find out what people think, how many guys have been with prostitutes. Is it 50% of guys? Is it 25% of guys?
Hold on, Dave. I want to do. Okay, Russ, get the break thing. That's right. Have you been with a prostitute? If so, does the old lady know? And if so, does it make a difference? Are they freaked out? And what would be worse? You with 25 prostitutes over the course of your career or one dude? I bet a woman would hold one dude against you more than 50
interesting
prostitutes. We'll take a quick break. Give us a call, 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your stories and your thoughts. We'll be back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Chad, you've not been laying almost 3 years.
Yes, sir.
And yeah. You've picked out a girl.
Her name is Carla.
You're going to live like a rock star for a day. I'm going to put you right in the VIP suite, Cuban cigar, wearing a Bunny Ranch robe. Here's the downside. We're going to get Carla on after you're there to talk about your performance.
Smart.
What are your thoughts on prostitution? Ever been with one? Ladies, what do you think of guys who have? Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Prostitution. Well, I have a sheet here that says that 70% of adult men have engaged in prostitution at least once. Sounds high, but if you go worldwide, doesn't sound very high. And also, it's one of these things where it depends what prostitution is. If you want to spin this, start counting lap dances and things like that, well, then we're all in.
Well, I assume, though, here's the thing. I assume about this that even if we went around the room, I was about to ask you, Ace, has this ever been an experience in your past? But I'm sure you wouldn't answer anyway, nor would anyone else, nor any other fellow.
I mean, if it was.
If you had been with a hooker, you wouldn't say, I've been with a hooker.
I think a lot of guys would admit to it.
I think if they would do it anonymously and they would do it with their chums, but you wouldn't do it over the airwaves, is what I mean to say.
I've said things that were probably more embarrassing or damning about myself over the years. Yeah. Yeah, no, I've never been with a hooker. But, you know, I've been to a, you know, fair amount of nudie bars and, you know, done things in there that my wife would be pissed about. But mm-hmm. I've never really been with a hooker.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. I'm so naive. I'm such a square of a human being that I don't know. That I don't think I know anybody who's been with a hooker, really, just about. Ooh. Or at least no one's ever confided in me. You know, there's a,
yeah.
I'm well, chubby or I'm a lesbian.
There's probably one within 9 feet of you right now.
Yeah.
But I will say this. There are guys. There are guys that have different approaches to toward the sexuality stuff, which is I know guys that are more sort of animal than they are man in the sex department. There are a lot of women. There are a lot of guys out there that almost have a feminine-like sexuality in that a woman could go to a strip club, have some boozes, sit there for a couple hours with her friends, and then just get up and leave and go home. There are guys who, if they go to a strip club, they need something. Mm-hmm. They become, it's a visceral thing. It becomes like a lion watching somebody eat for a while. Eventually, they got to get in on it. That's all. I mean, I've been to strip clubs with guys that after a couple hours of sitting there, they said, that's it. I got to get some.
And then what?
Well, a lot of guys, we know.
Bang the bejesus out of me. Sad.
That's what I was concerned
Sad.
About, Adam.
Yes.
That's
yes.
why I loved every time I take Bruska's ear, every time we're going. But a lot of fellas that we know, Ace, do the really pathetic thing and just finish in their pants.
We
At the
know,
strip club?
Oh, yes, yeah. We know
animals.
Many, many men who get an alarmingly high rate. I didn't know these men existed before I met these guys.
Yes.
And if you would have asked me before I met these guys, how many guys can get a lap dance inside of the Levi's and finish themselves off hands free, nothing up the sleeve? I would have said no, either nobody or maybe there's five guys on the planet. Turns out half the guys that worked at the Man Show,
yeah,
really?
could do this. I was always very envious of them, very envious. Hold on, Marilyn is on line three. Marilyn,
hi.
Hey,
I have an opinion about men being with prostitutes. So I used to be a call girl, so I have an opinion.
They sound hot. Let's hear it.
Well, I think it's great. I think it gives men a chance to try new things without, you know, maybe like freaking their significant other out. And besides, I think it makes them happy and they want to go home and, you know, make love to their wife and maybe are a little more spunky. And it makes good money for the girls.
Uh-huh. I see. So you say it's almost a marital aid that they get rejuvenated. They get to check a few boxes on
spunky.
Their sexual dance card and they go home spunky.
I think
Speaking
so.
Of going, they're both that's, going home spunky.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of guys we know go home with their pants spunky.
I don't know. The guys I saw, they always said they thought it was a good thing for their marriages.
Most of my
customers were nice men. They were in their late 20s, early 30s, maybe early 40s, in happy relationships. A lot of them came to me because their wives wouldn't do oral, to tell you the truth.
And I
think that's a big mistake for women.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yes. So you've been out of the game for a while?
Well, yeah, I'm too old now.
Mm-hmm.
When do you age out of that?
Oh, for me, it was about my mid-30s.
That's about the same as the NBA.
Once
in a while, you see some guy, some six man hanging on at 39 or 40, always sad.
Yeah. Whispers among her peers.
Yeah. Used to be great.
She's the parish of prostitution.
Should have gotten out of the game, yeah.
Now, a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate yourself physically?
I don't know. I was physically, maybe an 8. I'm 6 feet tall, and I don't know.
I have really good legs. Are you married now?
No, I've been married, but I like being single.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell your men when you start dating a guy? Do you let him know about this?
No, not right away. But, you know, I am who I am, and I'm not going to pretend to be anything else. And if they can't like me for who I am and how I got
to be. So you're saying you are a whore. That's who you are.
Yeah, I am, but I think all women are whores in one way or another.
Right.
I think all whores in one way or
yes,
another.
Yes, no difference between you and Mother Teresa and Dira Gandhi. They're the same. You're the same. You're all you and Margaret Thatcher. There's no difference.
That's right.
You're all whores. That's
and,
right.
And, you know, I've heard like this. I got paid very, very, very well to do it. I did. I didn't walk on the street. I got paid very well. I was working in the 80s. I was getting $250 minimum an hour.
Well, so. You sound none the worse for wear. You really Not sound like all. You've landed on your feet.
No, I enjoyed it, actually. It was a good part of my life.
All right. Once, now I believe you're overcompensating when people do it. Hey, we're all prostitutes. And hey, you don't think your wife's a prostitute? Well, you pay her money and you put a roof over her. That's no different than... When I hear enough of that, it makes me think maybe they're a little ashamed of their former profession. when they then liken every person who's married or every woman who takes care of her kids while the man goes out and works. Well, she's a prostitute, too. Okay. Mm-hmm. And are we all jet pilots as well?
We all fly.
You all sit on a chair. Do you all sit in that same position that the pilots sit in? And you control stuff. Car's no different than a jumbo jet. Whenever you have to include everyone else into what you're doing, see, that's the whole thing. You want a job where you don't include everybody. That's what professional athletes do. It's not like the guys in U2 talk about, oh, everyone's in a band.
That's right, yeah.
Every guy who's ever picked up a guitar and played a lick is just as big a band as we are.
Yeah, Latrell Sprewell. Hey, I'm just lucky to be in the NBA. Any schmo off the street can duck behind
NBA.
His head.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep, Danny.
Hey, morning.
What's up? You've been with over 50 hookers?
Wow.
Not correct. During my military career, I was deployed overseas extensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best whorehouses are in Panama, especially Cologne.
Wow. Mm.
Back this was back in the late 70s. You could get a hooker for $12 and all night and get all the Panamanian red you could smoke and all the Peruvian you could shove up your nose. This is prior to any drug testing in the military.
Yeah. Wow, that's a hell, you should be paying them. You know what I mean?
$12. I can't go to the ArcLight for $12. This guy's getting a hooker.
It is amazing, although I hate when the blowhard guys do this. They go, by the time you take the family, put them in the minivan, buy yourself four tickets, popcorn, you're $400 or $500.
And all those, the whole family in the car that you're paying for, all hookers.
That's right. So $12. You do want to be in one of those countries where you don't share a common language. That's nice because it feels weird when you're
chit-chatting.
If you talk long enough, eventually you'll hit some common ground. Oh,
well,
you? I have a nephew with Down syndrome. Your brother? Oh, wow. You know, if it becomes really weird, eventually there'll be someone you went to high school with or some. There'll be some bond form, some weird connection as to how you guys might know each other. You pull almost anyone aside and start talking to them for a while. There'll be something you have in common. Could be your team. Could be some weird ailment that a family member has. Eventually it gets weird. So you don't have that. Also, if you live in one of those societies or you visit one of those societies where every 14-year-old girl just goes into prostitution, a lot like they do with the army in Israel, everybody just goes into it for a few years.
Right.
I mean, that's how Panama is with prostitution. It's like what Israel is with the army. Like, hey, on your 14th birthday, you do 2 years, and then you can go off to college.
Maybe travel Europe and then college. Out of the 50 prostitutes, did you befriend any of them?
No. There's a couple that I hit, you know, more than once.
Sure.
That was because of the specialties that were involved.
Oh.
Like what?
Let's say knocking on somebody's back door.
Oh, really?
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
It's just, I like that idea, too. It's just a thought that a couple other gents went through the back door a little earlier in the day that would slow me down.
Well, what could be safer than a Panamanian hooker's ass?
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Yeah, I normally say wear a condom, but not in this case. I mean, let's not overdo it. Come on.
You filthy, stinky prostitute.
Yeah, you're right, T. Oh, no. No, that's essentially a clean room.
It's like a Petri dish.
Yeah, you could go in there and assemble parts for the shuttle. No problem there. You could do eye surgery in there. All right, where are we? Someone says I'm full of it. Victor?
Yeah.
You say I'm full of it?
Yeah, I think you're just BSing, man. There's no way that you can go to a strip club as much as you probably have and not gotten it from a at least a BJ. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he, Adam, you're saying things have happened.
A stripper, because there's always that one stripper that needs to meet their quota for the night, and you know they offer you a little extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but they want money, and I think we should talk about this because guys vary wildly, and Dave and I are sort of on the same page here when it comes to women. We don't agree. Our type is different, but our sensibility is the same, which is we don't like the prostitutes and the porn stars. We like the girls next door.
Yes.
If I see a porn movie, I don't want to see the back all tatted up and the tongue piercings and the big lucite wedgie stripper heels and stuff. I much prefer the sort of girl next door tennis shoes kind of look rather than the scary strippers with the painted on eyebrows and that kind of stuff. I mean, you're the same way. For the same reason, the prostitution part has never really been a great turn on to me because they're those women. Now, if a woman was a prostitute but put on a nice sundress and some flats and hung out in the casino, that would be a different story. But the crazy sort of way too much lip gloss and the tongue, the anvil hanging from the tongue, always been kind of weird.
Yeah,
for me,
the constant announcements by the majority of these women about how much they love the sea, you know,
really, they do that.
Oh, just the constant. Shouting from rooftops. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love taking it. Any hole, I'll take it in any hole. Dave, I don't like that.
This isn't about you. Let's focus on the focus on the topic. Bri.
That's coming back.
you got that?
I will hear that.
Hold
by
on.
Shows
was
end
that
again.
Clean? I hope I wasn't laughing over that.
Good man. When I used to do Loveline, I used to give Drew, you know, fake email and faxes and stuff.
So, to try to get him to say stuff?
I'm a gay man. My body is riddled with AIDS, but yet I cannot stop fornicating with a mop handle. You know what I mean? Do all that kind of stuff, and then we just get it on tape.
Like we just did right there with you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think I was laughing during it. Brian, is that clean?
Woo! Oh, we'll clean it up in post. Big Tad?
Hey, good morning from Reno.
Yeah. Hey, Tad, you did something. I rarely say I'm jealous of anything that comes across your doorstep, but you judging the amateur dance, exotic dance competition last night, very jealous of that, as Dave and I just discussed. The pros, not so interested in the traveling pro strippers, but the secretary who's had a few shots of Jaeger and has been coaxed on stage by her buddies who work in the law office with her, that is a turn-on to me. Mm, well, did you see any of that last night?
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but Reno doesn't know how to party like we do down in Southern California. They were not interested in dancing for us.
So
we had to do drinking contests for prizes.
So you had no girls get naked?
No, they weren't really into getting naked in front of us.
Hey, buddy, had a little scheduling change. Couple of no-shows, some dropouts. Couple of ladies failed the drug test, but good news, Big Tad's in a song. He's ready to go, boys. You may run for the ATMs, Big Tad.
The good news is, doesn't this increase Tad's chances of getting laid since it was a drinking contest?
It's true.
I did meet a good-looking girl last night, but it fell through.
Mm.
Hopefully she'll be...
It fell down drunk, or it fell through?
By it, he means it is him, and he fell through three floors.
No.
Hey, you wait till I get back down and check.
Those termites. So what happened, Tad? You met her. What did she do?
We were hanging out. We were having a good time, but, you know... Brian, really? With all the come on, man. This ain't Morning Zoo. So anyway, 2 o'clock comes rolling around, and her sister wanted to go home, and you know, it just fell through. Hopefully she'll be. Actually, she's supposed to be showing up at the ribbing contest today. Watch me eat some ribs, I think we're going out tonight again.
Well, it's done.
That's foreplay for most women.
It's done. second only to guys who are in tobacco spitting contests and water seat.
I'll tell you, hog calling.
Those are the four competitions that make women go crazy.
I'll tell you what, though. These people up in Reno, man, they do know how to drink, because we started at 8, didn't end until about 2, 3 in the morning, and,
okay.
we had a good time.
All right, well, you had a good time. You'll have a better time this afternoon at the rib-eating competition.
Yeah, you know what? I found out, by the way, that there's two different kinds of competition. There's an amateur...
Mm-hmm.
And there's a professional.
Uh-huh.
Now, you guys put me in the morning. You know. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Olympics versus the pros. Yeah,
you guys put me in the professional one.
Well, anyone who walks around at 350 pounds, I say, almost has to be professional eating.
Yes.
Just do the math.
Yes.
Just have them step on the scale. They're doing something right in the eating department.
De facto, you're not an amateur.
That's right.
I am an amateur when it comes to eating contest.
Well, look, you're going to vomit for sure because you're hungover, you're boozing all last night, you slept for 2 hours, now you're going to try to shovel as many ribs down your pie hole as possible. You will definitely yak at some point.
I'm actually not hungover. I'm actually pretty good right now. I took some aspirin before I went to bed.
3-1, you yak. All right, I'm done with you.
Tad, here's a little, I don't like to cheat, but listen. Just take about like 2 dozen of the ribs and just stuff them into the folds of fat you got. And then I'll be like, well, I ate them. I ate them bone and all.
Plus, then you have something for the plane on the way home.
Yes.
Everyone else eating them smoked almonds, and you got savory ribs from your folds of fat. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Tee up the news for us, would you, baby doll?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about polygamous Warren Jeffs, who we touched on earlier. And if you missed Celebrity Duets last night on Fox, I will bring you some delicious highlights of that. Also,
I saw 8 minutes of that, and I've realized we have taken a quantum leap backwards. It used to be that we took talented people and we crafted scripts for them, and then they, in turn, entertained us. If now... gone back 100 years to the sort of karaoke talent show night. And as we spoke about, unless the talent show aspect of your talent show involves you taking your pants off, not interested. Thank you.
We also have imbeciles do sports on the radio.
Oh, that's going to stop.
Well, the one last pressing question I need you to think about during the commercial break. Do you think John Voight knows the names of his grandchildren? I have audio that says he may not. It's very amusing.
I can't figure out whether I feel sorry for the guy or what's going on, because every time they interview Voight, it's like, and how's Angelina doing? She's doing great. She's fantastic. Her and Brad are great. I'm over the moon about the kids. What's his name? What's her nose? And then the black kid with the mohawk.
Have you heard the audio? Because that's basically what he says.
And then they're like, are you guys talking? You know, right now we're taking a little time off, but you know what? She knows I love her very much, and I'm over the moon about her. You're not her ex-husband. You're her dad. It's okay. You guys can talk. You can hang out. All right. I got to get to the bottom of this one.
Yes, we will.
We will take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Time to put some lipstick on this pig. Coming up on today's show, we got Mr. Brightside. And here's one for you. 50-year-old man's had 2 divorces. Put a happy spin on that. Oh, this is getting cathartic. The family from American Chopper, the Tuttles. Not quite sure why we're having a family that makes helicopters. Motorcycles. Really? And the kids are into this. All right, sounds good. Also, Dave's jerk list. Hey, show me the funny. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
That is right. Now, as promised, Teresa Strasser with the news.
Well, President Bush finished up a 2-day trip to Louisiana and Mississippi on the 1-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina yesterday. Here is President Bush giving the residents of Louisiana and Mississippi a little bit of a pep talk.
This anniversary is not an end. And so I come back to say that we will stand with the people of southern Louisiana and southern Mississippi until the job is done.
I don't like it when they do these tours of the places, especially a year later. Look, if you cared about it, you would have done something about it a year ago when it was happening. And now these are just photo ops. Shots of you with the sleeves rolled up and the tie loosened, maybe holding a flathead shovels if you're doing something. Look, you want to know what's going on over there? Turn on CNN. Every 8 seconds, they're just showing a picture of some disaster area. Watch it there and then stay at the White House and get some goddamn work done.
So poor, and they are so black.
Well, polygamous cult leader.
Can a store make you blacker? I know it can devastate you financially, make you poor, but it doesn't make you blacker. It's not like it knocks a layer of your skin off and there's a darker layer underneath.
I don't believe so. polygamous cult leader Warren Jeffs, as we were talking about earlier, was pulled over yesterday.
Well, you look at him as a polygamous cult leader. I look at him as a diabolical mastermind, a master criminal. The kind of guy who would get in a fire engine red Denali with no license plates and a bunch of wigs, sunglasses, walkie-talkies, and 50 grand and try to speed to Mexico with his brother.
Well, Adam, you're right. He did. He had 54 grand, 15 cell phones, 4 laptops, and 3 wigs.
But not one license plate on the car, you retard.
Ironic.
And the thing is candy apple red. You have to see this thing.
It doesn't blend. Now, no. Jeffs, as you know, was on the 10 most wanted list. The FBI had him up there with Osama bin Laden. He's estimated to have 75 wives, 56 children, and what he does is arrange marriages between his followers and underage girls.
I told you, you start that cult. It's always white dudes, it's always dudes in their 40s, and it's always dudes who want to get laid. I mean, look, every white guy in his mid-40s would love to bang the bejesus out of as many 17-year-olds as you could put in front of him. They just say, God told me to do it. We have the dignity to go to a whorehouse. He says God told him to do it. And this is how they all work that way. They're all the same guy, and it always boils down to sex. Never a fat menopausal chick who started a cult.
Well, it's an interesting thing about Mormons. I just read this 800-page book, Under the Banner of Heaven, written by a Krakauer who wrote Into Thin Air. And Mormons do speak directly to God. They don't have a go-between. So God can tell them anything.
Sure.
Including...
Listen, I'm an atheist. You talking to God is not that much different than you talking to your dog or hat rat telling you to kill. You have a problem, you understand. We turned a blind eye to it. Oh, he's a man of great faith. He's insane. You're insane if you're talking to God. You're hearing voices is what you're hearing. You call it God. It's a voice, and the voice is saying, let me pork your daughters.
Well, in the case of Warren Jeffs, it is a crime. And
good. Put a bullet in his head. Let him meet his maker. Hey, good news. You're going to be hanging with your best buddy. You know that guy you talk to? They get to talk in person now.
In entertainment news, Celebrity Duets premiered last night on Fox with celebrity judges Marie
Osmond.
Hold on,
save that bullet for me. I saw 4 minutes.
What if there was only one bullet?
It was like, I switched it on for one. You know what, if it was just one bullet, I would put it in his soft palate and then stack my head on top of his so the bullet penetrated my brain. It wouldn't kill me. I'd be rendered retarded and I couldn't watch TV anymore. Or I would enjoy everything. I turned it on Fox last night for about 4 minutes and it looked to me like a train collided with an abortion clinic. That's really what that show looked like.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's what it was like. And no brakes on the train went right in the side of an abortion clinic.
Well, let me play you a little aborted fetus called Hal Sparks singing with Smokey Robinson.
Oh, no, Hal Sparks.
He was actually my favorite one. You'll first hear Smokey, then you'll hear Hal. Whoa. Or nothing.
Oh,
now, I thought Hal sounded much better than I expected him to sing. He was my favorite one, and I'm not ashamed to admit
it. Well, you should have heard Leah Thompson with Travis Tritt or whoever she was with.
Randy Travis.
That was a disaster.
It was disastrous. I couldn't even play that for you. It's too cruel to our listeners. Now, Little Richard, some people accuse Paula Abdul of being drug-addled or confused. Little Richard, I don't know. I can't explain what exactly was happening, but after Cheech Marin sang with Randy Travis. They sang a song called Digging the Bones. And then he tried to comment. I don't know. Here's what he said.
Oh, you say you was digging up bones. I thought about dry bones in the valley. I said, my, digging up bones. I hope you get them out of there.
Yeah.
I'm get the bone. Whoa. Grab the bone.
Whoa.
Cheech. Bone, bone.
I have no idea what he just said.
I never thought about this, but Little Richard, if you do the name math, you know, if a guy's name is Richard Gobbler,
right?
You take a math and then you do a little math and you do some thinking on it. Richard Gobbler. I didn't know what his buddies call him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Little Richard, not a great name. I'd ever thought of it.
Same.
This second. The more you know. Thank you.
Small Richard.
You know what I thought of this morning at 5 a.m.?
What?
When I was making my way into the kitchen? You know the bumper sticker, honk if you're horny?
Yes.
I never thought about the horn, the car horn part of the horny. I just thought honk if you're feeling amorous.
Horny.
But the double entendre part of honk your horn, horny. Have you ever do that thing where you go, wow, this thing's 25 years old. I've seen it on the back of cars for 25 years. I never thought about the horn part of the horny. I just thought it meant honk if you're sexually active.
I had not either.
My big revelation in the last couple of years was that Arby's roast beef restaurant, it's R-B as in roast beef. Arby.
Arby. I hadn't thought of that
you
either.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
But there's a reason why you didn't think of that one.
Why?
Not entertaining enough for you to think of. I would argue that you're very funny, Teresa.
Thank you.
That you wouldn't waste your time.
Thank you. Well, wrestler Chris Jericho was the first to be eliminated on Celebrity Duets, which I thought was an outrage. I thought Jericho was good. There was a little gymnast on there. She kind of stank up the joint, but she did not get eliminated. Now, on to Jon Voight. TMZ.com, the entertainment website, has video of Jon Voight being interviewed. He's trying to send out a birthday message to Maddox, who's Angelina Jolie's son, obviously. But when it comes time to give a shout-out to her other kids, he runs into a little bit of trouble.
Maddox just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Maddox. 5 years old. It's a big one. 5 years old, you're getting to be a young man. And I send my love to you, and I send my love to Shakira and Shahira. Is it Shahira? Shahira.
He likes pop music.
Shahara. I got to start all over again.
He does a second take, which turns out well.
I'd make fun of him, but my dad would do the same thing.
How would that sound?
Well, he'd get the kids' names right, but he'd call me Andy. Lynette, and there, of course, my wonderful son, Andy.
How would I know that?
Look, I got to tell you, I'll cut the guy some slack. When you get older, I can already feel it. Your mind just starts going, and the first thing that goes is names. And then the guy's old school. He hung out with every chick. When he was born, every chick was named Sally or Sue, and every guy was named John or Steve. And now there's all these whacked out names that are out there, and you can't add them to the fold. It's like old people in the computer. It's too late. The cement has dried on their sidewalk. You can no longer carve your initials into it.
How should I know?
Thank you, Mother.
He did get Shiloh Nouvelle right, so that was something.
All right, and I can't figure out what's going on with those two exactly, but I feel so sorry for him whenever he gets interviewed. Angelina, no, she's great. She's great. She's great. I haven't talked in 27 months, but she's great.
Well, Jon Voight, how was the wedding? Were you there for that?
You know what? Not this. You know what? What was that on? Was that on a Sunday? I hung back this time, but you know what? She's great. We have great love. I love the kids, Nuvo and Shiloh and Chautauqua and Vlad, the guy she's married. You know what? Great love. Great love. She knows I love her, even though we never speak. And she won't take my phone calls. And if there's some event that we're both going to, she'll wait out in the car for 45 minutes until I leave before she enters. But it's great love there. It's great love.
Well, I have great love for ending the news, which I will now do.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave.
Hey, another one of those things that you should know, you should have figured out two or three decades ago that I only figured out like in the last year or two, is Johnny Mathis is black.
Mm.
Did you know that
did
one?
Not, no, did not I didn't know that. What? Did not. You did not?
No. It was a big revelation.
What, do you think he was Eastern Indian?
Or? I don't know what I thought he was. He's right. A black man.
More about Arby's.
Do you know what FU stands for?
Are you kidding? Everybody knows it. Listen, I've brought this up to many people and since I found out, and they also shocked by the news.
Hold on. How about BFD? Do you know that chain?
All right, creep. Listen. Tomorrow night, college football season kicks off. Then a week from tomorrow, the NFL starts. Miami Dolphins pay a visit to the Pittsburgh World Champions.
Yes.
Here's what I'll say. A little tip for all the
fellas
out
there.
Wait,
what night is that? What?
The NFL kickoff? Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Steelers.
Thursday.
Yes. Your Steeler game.
Yes. Thursday night.
That's Thursday. Yes. So you'll be at Kimmel's the following Sunday.
That's correct.
I got to say, I love Dave's company. We'll see how it goes this year. Now we have to see each other all the time. We still look forward to it. But I hated it when the Steelers were on or the Steelers were playing a big game and Dave wouldn't show up. He had to help them to victory by pacing around in his own terrible towel.
I respect that you have to be alone with your game.
Listen, Coach Cowher and his fellows put in a week's worth of effort. Right. They've got, you know, the rigors of summer camp and everything. The least I can do is give them my undivided attention.
You said rigors, right? I've seen the breakdown of most of the teams.
You know that they're the world champions, right?
The point is you will be at Kimmel's on Sunday. Eating pizza. Brusket will be there.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
I don't have to get the game face on until about midway through the season.
All right, good.
Now, what I would like to say is, though, a little tip for all the fellas is, nice thing to do. Take the old lady, you know, out on the town this week. You know, for day. If she wants to, go shopping all day, go with her. Maybe even take her out of town. You know, trip the lights, fantastic. Because next 5 months,
that's
shutdown mode.
That's right.
Yes.
Yep. Can pack on 30 pounds, have a constant beer buzz, and there'll be no activity.
Yeah, and you're
with
a hero for a little bit.
What you're saying is, right now, this is the time to go all day shoe shopping. Nice dinner and
because
a movie.
Come, that's right. Come kickoff of the season, I will have the relationship John Voight has with Angelina Jolie with my wife. There'll be no conversation.
You'll be like Laura, Lorraine, whatever.
I'll be mispronouncing my kids' names. It'll be great.
All right, listen. Oh, by the way, speaking of Steeler-related stuff, the great Hall of Famer, four-time Super Bowl champion, Terry Bradshaw, is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Great.
Now, I'm a little conflicted because I asked him on a date the last time he was on the show, and he said yes, but I've not gotten a call from him since then. So anyway, we'll figure that out. And also Joe Buck, the great broadcaster.
Ah. Mm.
And also, one more thing, as I move into pastime, Billy West, who's waiting in the wings, is going to sing a song about the national pastime.
Oh, he is.
That I think you're going to like a great deal, Ace. Now, let's talk about what happened on the field last night. The Dodgers' roller coaster season continues. Right now, they're rolling four straight. Three up in the NL West after last night's win over the Cincinnati's. Padres, meantime, spanked the Snakes again. They're now a half game up in the wild card. Over in the junior circuit, though, the Halos are just about done. They're 7.5 back of the Athletics now. But what happened in last night's game was Vlad Guerrero hit a line drive right into the pitcher's head, Rafael Soriano. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
It looked horrendous. Ooh. And the doctors say he's fine. They say, really, which is good news, obviously. But take a listen to him. Here he is 2 weeks ago after a ball game.
Colorado en espera de ser extraditado a California, donde se le acusa de pornografía infantil.
Right. And then when he was released from the hospital last night, listen to him.
You the best around. Nothing gonna ever keeping you down.
I thought he was gonna sound like Tony Randall or something.
Nothing gonna ever keeping you down.
That's one way we could have gone. A funnier way.
I was expecting.
Sure. I thought he was gonna have an English gentleman's accent. That would have been funny.
Well, we went around and around about should he sound like Ozzy? Should he sound like a refined Englishman? How about this, Ace? You know what? You're a good kid. I like the cut of your jib.
Mm-hmm.
Next sports, he's going to have an English accent.
Thank you. That'll be funny.
Yeah, you play that prissy music. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Wonderful. Now, one more thing I wanted to make mention of. There are a bunch of celebrities here. Not just celebrities, but famous celebrities, according to the team's official website. ABA Basketball, a.k.a. way, way down in the minors of basketball. Bunch of them have gotten together. Meadow Sopranos, ex-husband AJ DeScala, Jeff Stultz from Seventh Heaven, Nick Lachey, all these boobs have gotten together and bought themselves an NBA, an ABA team, and they're calling it Hollywood Fame.
Fame. So they'd be called The Fame?
Yes, The Fame. And now, listen, here's why. Because, you know, a couple years ago, it became in vogue for the hip-hop guys to start doing that. Jay-Z bought the Nets, and everybody's getting a piece of the NBA teams. Mm-hmm. But I think the honkies sort of missed the boat here. Oh, it's cool to do this now.
Yeah,
you got an ABA team, and you named it The Fame. You know, you embarrass us.
Yeah,
shame on you white people.
Gay 80s movie.
Dave Demeshek's number one sports.
Irene Cara is the center, oddly enough.
Take your top off, baby. Quit your crying. You're going to rust the tripod. When I say tripod. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Mr. Brightside.
Oh.
The close cousin, but the polar opposite in a certain sense of what can Adam complain about. You call up. You tell me your complaints. What's going wrong with your life? I'll put a happy spin on it. Now, normally, Tom Likas, the great Tom Likas, who follows us in many markets, or if not right behind us, certainly just a few hours behind us, usually calls in and assists us on this. He's not available this morning, but the great Billy West, who amongst all his great characters, you know, way back from the Stern Show and the Ren and Stimpy and all that stuff, he does, I believe, a good enough Likas to pass. So we'll bring him in. He'll give us an assist. And we'll do Mr. Brightside. Your phone calls, 866-901-ADAM. And we'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. Call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
What's the problem, baby doll?
I got hurt really bad on the job, and the next day I got fired.
A lot of people don't have a job to get fired from.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
I know it makes me an intellectual lightweight, but I like this song. Wasn't it on some list of 10 worst rock songs ever?
It was voted the wussiest rock song, I think. Wussiest.
Yeah.
It was intended
clearly an attempt
cutesy,
to be cutesy into
ironic.
A pop song. Right. Always funny. Billy West in studio speaking always funny.
Hey.
Hey. Came to probably the attention of a lot of people on the Howard Stern Show so many years ago, but has been... You've known you... I will bet... You know, there's these companies that say, or these inventors who say, you don't go 10 feet without using one of our products, or every American household has at least 8 of our products that we manufacture, that we are some subsidiary or something. Every 13th word you hear came out of Billy West's mouth. I don't care if you don't have a TV and you broke your radio years ago. Ted Kaczynski living in a shack. Up in the hills of Montana, every 13th word you hear came from Billy West. You may not know it.
I get paid by the word.
That is nice. What was that? That was 4 right there or something like that.
Well, thank you.
Billy West is, we got things to do with Billy West, and we got some cartoons to talk about. He's going to sing a song for us. But first, because last time he was in here, he did a spot on Tom Likas impersonation. We thought we'd use him since the real Likas can't make it in today. Normally he calls in and gives us an assist on Mr. Brightside. We have some problems and he just chimes in with his laughing and tries to shed a little of his light on it. Normally we do that. There we go. But the real Likas could not call in
so you want
this
me to
morning. Well, if you just help us out with this bit, and then we'll get on to stuff. So let's do
a little
Mr. Brightside.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
All right. Let's talk to Paul. Paul?
Yes.
What's the problem?
Actually, before I get to that, can I ask a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way Billy could do
don't
a little
start.
Tacky joke, man?
Don't start.
Otherwise, this bitch just lies here and dies. Play the game. Way to play the game, friend.
He'll do a little Jackie the Joke Man after we do Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, what do you call a whore that likes Italian food?
What?
A prostitute. I mean, a prostitute. I'm worse than he is. How did I blow that? I don't tell jokes. I just don't. That's why.
You didn't blow it. Jackie the Joke Man did.
Thank you.
Yeah, one more Jackie the Joke Man. You got anything else for us?
What is it? He's like Red Skelton. He laughs his own jokes and prefaces everything.
Before he says them.
Yeah, I know. Hey, what's the red dot on the Indian woman's forehead mean?
I don't know.
Coffee's ready. Hey, coffee's ready. It's a dot on the head. It's a dot on the head.
Oh, Jackie versus Tom and a laugh off.
Why don't you people laugh? Is that what you want me to do?
Dueling like
if
I.
If you would, please.
Paul, oh, by Georgie.
Paul, not Jim Backus.
No.
Paul?
Yeah. I feel better already.
Thank you. Me too. What was the problem?
I just recently noticed I have a sort of a mole in my groin area.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all the earmarks and all the criteria of being a problem. It's bigger than a pencil eraser. It's very discolored. It's got blurry edges.
Yeah. Well, look, you've never heard of anyone dying of groin cancer, have you? I mean, you hear about brain cancer and lung cancer. This is groin. You're saying this could potentially be like a malignant?
Yeah.
I see. Well, you get that lasered off, and it's on your junk, so you found it. You know, if it was in a Bible, you would have never found it.
Thanks, Tom. But Mr. Brightside, could it be melanoma?
Well, look, first off, melanoma sounds like a knockoff soda. It's not Mountain Dew. It's not Mellow Yell. It's melanoma.
I like Appleplexy.
Yeah, something they drink.
Appleplexy.
Something they drink in the South and maybe mix with Everclear so kids can catch a buzz. It's got a nice name, melanoma. You know?
Yeah.
The word mellow right in it. And it's on your groin. You found it early. Then you go freeze it off or get it lasered off. Hopefully you get a hot nurse and she shaves your junk.
Am I right, Tom? A nurse.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Tim?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
My car this morning on my way to work, I stepped in dog poo, and I didn't actually notice it until I was in the car.
Mm-hmm. Were you wearing shoes?
Yeah.
Well, all right then. You could have been walking on your hands. A maniacal slap him in the back.
Like, is it stuck?
Sorry, wrong laugh.
Sherry? Laugh at this one like Jackie the Joke Man.
Okay, all right.
Sherry?
Yes?
What's the problem?
Well, I'll tell you, back in June, the guy I was living with OD'd on crystal meth, and his family took his house back, so put me and my girls on the street. We've been homeless ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
And my car.
Well, first off, hold on a second. Let me say this. You were put on the street, right? But not in a tank of boiling water. You're at least on the street. You then got to get in your car and go somewhere. You know what I mean? You weren't put on a rusty piece of rebar. You're put on the street. You know, people make that a big deal. Hey, we got put out on the street. You go out on the street every day of your life. It's not like when you're put in a volcano, then call me. Am I right, Jackie?
Sid says to Sadie. It doesn't even need a punchline. It's hellaciously funny in and of itself.
Hey, Sherry?
Yes?
So did the old man die when he OD'd on crack?
Yes, he passed away
Jackie,
about
that's
3
good.
Days later.
That's good stuff. All right. Well, I, again, I'm sorry to hear that. But
what
does
he do? What happened? That it wasn't even paying attention.
He's a crackhead and he OD. Now, here's the thing.
Hey, that's natural selection.
Yeah.
Nature has enough problems to keep that crap out of the gene pool.
When the old man is running a Fortune 500 company and the Lear jet goes down, that's a loss. But when he blows his own head off with the crack pipe in the living room of the flop house he's living in, so be it. Good riddance, I say. Right, Sherry?
I agree.
Thank you.
Nice suffering job. In this world.
Nice job,
very
Jackie
much
Likas.
Suffering. Jackie Likas.
Jackie Likas, the world's worst advice columnist.
Yeah, Jackie is Likas. It's like, hey, Tom, I got this daughter, you know, and the mother, and you had them both and everything.
Ah.
Uh-huh. What should I do with them?
Well, what do you mean, what do you do with them? Make shish kebab out of them. Oh, the family.
All right, Jackie Likas in studio.
Come on!
Also known as Billy West. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Billy got himself a song. He brought his guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to hear a little Mark or John Mark Carr, David Mark John Carr, John
Mark Carr. Benet
that
Carr.
Guy looks like a nasty, angry little 10-year-old. He's got worms growing under his skin or something.
Well, be prepared to sing the song you just heard when we return. Man, I got to say this. No offense, but if they're doing a movie of the week and they can't get John Cryer to play his part, Billy, you're on a short list, buddy. Very short list.
You'll see. You'll all see.
Oh, yeah.
That's the look that guy's got on his face.
Yeah.
You'll
see. He'll show all of you.
Mother.
He has
Norman!
That. He has that I'm taking you with me look.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Billy West after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ay, Chihuahua. Billy West was not only Stimpy, but this dog pal of his. Lynn.
Who is Ren?
Right.
Happy, happy, happy. Joy, joy, joy. My favorite live-action drama.
Wait a second. Is this plan going to kill us?
Hooray, I'm useful. I'm having a wonderful time.
She's a beautiful ship, all right. Shapely, seductive. I'm gonna fly her brains out.
I'm a certified college dropout.
Correct. This box contains our own universe.
It's Billy West. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
Wow. You made that?
Yeah.
For me?
I did it myself.
I love that.
I'm a fan.
I like those cookies that you left me in the dressing room, too. They were very nice.
Those weren't cookies.
Oh.
BillyWest.com is where you go. He's got a new CD.
Feta cheese.
New vomit.
Oh, yeah. When do a good clean vomit. We'll mix you with David Alan Greer's vomiting.
Okay. Greek salad. Oh, where was I last night? I have to fart and fan it up to my face so I can remember. Yeah. Oh, what a night.
Billy West, thank Christ, has brought his guitar. And while he took some offense to this before he went to break, he does resemble John Mark Carr just a little bit. Just
oh,
a little.
Really? Oh, wait, I have a
good-looking man.
No, he's not. He looks like he's got worms growing under his skin.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Put a mullet wig on him and take the glasses off. You got it, John.
Well, thank you very much.
Impressed with your ear that you.
And I was worried about what shirt I was going to wear here this morning.
You thought you're having trouble getting laid before. Now you're in a world of hurt.
John Mark Carr.
So Billy, you brought the guitar for a reason.
Yes.
You are going to play a song for us.
Well, I was in this movie called Queer Duck. It was an internet cartoon. It was done by some of the guys from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And Queer Duck was a character. He was played by Jim J. Bullock, who was gay before there was a word for it.
Yeah.
And then his friends, Queer Duck's friends, are openly Gator.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Wildcat.
Right.
And
bipolar bear.
Right.
So I played bipolar bear, but they said, what do you want to do with him?
Is
and I
Jim,
said,
Jim J. Bullock has not been claimed by AIDS yet? I know that sounds harsh, but he was on the top of my list you know, 80s gay celebrities who would be long gone by now.
That's bad, that AIDS thing. I don't know about that AIDS thing, but when you get blood, cucka, and man pudding together in one place, ain't no good going to come of it.
I tell you, it's huge that's in the black community. No, I just saw something on TV.
I've seen so many people come and go.
Yeah, Lordy, it's still an epidemic here in the black community. So I've been seeing news programs on it over the weekend.
It appears that he's still alive.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's fine and dandy.
Okay.
For lack of a better word.
He is dandy.
All right, Billy. So
I'm as gay as a goose.
You have a song well, from that?
Yeah, so there was a song in there, and like, I've been getting phone calls from Boston because I grew up in that sports town, and mm-hmm. it was amazing. I saw the original lineup. I mean, the big lineup of the Celtics back in the day, you know, Kevin mm-hmm. McHale and little Danny Ainge and Parrish.
Yeah,
the works, Bird.
It's a shame that, ironically, growing up in the Boston area, you still haven't mastered the Bostonian accent.
Yeah, if only you could get that down.
If only you could do that.
Oh, come on there. Come on. You know, the Red Sox, I give them a break every year, and I always feel like a sucker. They've been blue-balling New England for 100 years. No wonder Babe Ruth hated them. Oh, no wonder the Babe put a curse on him. He revoked it last year to give those suckers a break, and what did they do? They broke my heart. You bastards. Oh, geez. Ortiz, out of action. Third deck. What's his name? Out of action. Timmy Wakefield. Gone. There's nothing.
What do you think about the Bill Buckner situation?
Bill Buckner, back in those days, 68, was it? 68, Bill Buckner let that ball go through. He had 1 foot in Rhode Island and 1 in North Boston.
And it's better when they get a little buzz going from the beer than really get morose.
You know, these guys, they shouldn't have invented baseball. Because baseball just broke everyone's hearts here. It's like when you get a girl in the back seat of a car, you get 1 button open, 2 buttons open, 3 buttons open. You get the bra, and all of a sudden, she kicks you in a cannoli. That's what the Red Sox do to us every year. They always had that bra off again.
I know, and the thing is they're like some sort of wood boring termite or something that is spread out of Louisiana and is attacking the rest of the country. I now have to live with these a-holes right here in sunny California. I'm driving through North Hollywood with one of these guys in my car, and they're lamenting Boston and the year they're having. Oh, they've spread out. They're not staying in Boston anymore. They're ruining our lives as well as their own.
They come to L.A. just to ride around and go, L.A. Halls.
Now I watch Sox games and pray they win so the night is not ruined with the Bostonian guys I'm going out with that evening.
Forget it. It's going to own you a year. It'll own you a month, the Sox and the losses. So I decided that I hate baseball. Baseball's done.
Good.
I even think baseball is gay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Baseball mm-hmm. is... But I got a channel, Paul Lynde. Remember him?
Sure.
From Hollywood Squares.
Speaking of gay. Well,
it smells like a woman's private parts in here, I think. Ask me how the rat race is going.
How's the rat race going?
The rats are winning.
My grandfather thought that he was A, straight, and B, a genius because he would sit in this center square of Hollywood Square. I later on did Hollywood Squares.
Did you?
And they feed you the jokes. They
of course.
Tell you the answers, they tell you the questions, and then they give you a list of potential jokes you can do if you want. Now, he would just watch it and think, this guy is amazing. Talk about how fast, like, you know, they do, you say, ignore it and keep on driving as Paul Lynde, and I'll set you up, all right?
Okay.
Ignore it and keep on driving. Paul, what do you do with a lady finger?
Ignore it and keep on driving.
Right, and then my grandfather would
have... naughty finger is reserved. Too many people are handy with that naughty finger. It's reserved for the naughty hall and nothing more.
My grandfather would then erupt with laughter and announce, why can't you be funny like him?
Right off the cuff like
Adam,
that.
Adam, he's a homo genius.
Yes, he is.
Are you going to sing for me?
Right, I'm sorry, Billy.
I don't know if you can hear this. Can you hear this guitar?
Yes.
Okay, wait. So this is Baseball is Gay.
by Paul Lynn.
All right, listen, all you bums. The lyrics are on the Homotron up there, the jumbo Homotron. Now substituting at first base, the original Survivor, Survivor, Survivor. Dick, hatch, 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 hatch. Okay. Baseball is a macho game. With that, few men can quarrel. But why are all the best players named Connie, Babe, and Oral? Let's play gay baseball. Baseball is gay, and there's no one gayer than a baseball player. One catches, one pitches. We're just a bunch of silly bitches. We play hard for hours, and that's just in the showers. Hey, let's play gay baseball. Baseball is gay. Come on. Let's come out at the ball game. Let's come out and be proud. Come on, you Marys, let's do the wave. Don't you dare slide, that's an Armani uniform. A night game, a day game. Every day's a gay game. One pitches, one couches. We're just a bunch of silly snatches. One swings, one bunts. We're just a bunch of silly, hey, hey, hey. Let's play gay baseball. Baseball is gay. Baseball is gay.
Billy West,
West
everybody.
Hollywood police, drop your pants and come out with your ass up.
Billy West is John Mark Carr. Oh. Nice job. Buddy,
well,
I got
to
tell you.
Hook, huh? That's the one that's going to stick.
There's nothing we can do
come
about
on,
it
you
now.
Got it, buddy.
He has to play in C, which is a fag key.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Hey, listen, Billy, I got twins, and they're still too young, but come their third or fourth birthday, please bring the guitar and the clown suit and come by. This is going to be a great gig.
I can't.
Dress up as a child molester and go to kids' parties.
Oh, God.
You do baseball's gay for them, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, but that's just lightweight stuff, you know, compared to, you know, some things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's...
I don't work. I work light blue, I guess you'd call it.
That's right.
Like the old comedians, you know?
You work powder
like George,
blue.
George
powder
Burns,
blue.
You know?
We didn't have to be dirty back then.
You know, and then he's one of these guys, they were dirtier than anybody. It's
and
like,
he didn't have to be funny either, though. He just had to smoke cigars and do a little
show. You just let out a little burst, you know, like...
So I'm standing in a bank line with my tongue up this chick's you-know-what. What else is that to do? When they laugh, I smoke. When they don't, I tell a joke.
You know, they were blue. Have you ever seen those roasts? Like, you know.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do is wait till the middle of an AIDS epidemic to let some filthy chinks stick needles in me.
Well, I'll tell you what they were. They were racist.
Well,
I mean, whenever Sammy Davis Jr. would come walking by, it was insane the things that Dean Martin and company would say to him. I mean, they were
Frank, Jet Black, Jungle Bunny, Jigaboo Boy. Thanks, Frank.
No.
Thanks, Frank.
That was pathetic. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Billy West in studio brought us guitar. The good news is we finally run down this book of poetry by Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen is an actor you would all recognize if you saw him. You should
Reservoir
know him.
Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Blonde.
Yeah, you should know him by name, but if you saw him, you definitely know him. From all the karate movies. What the
and
hell
the
were those movies?
And the trouble with the law. Wasn't he in some trouble?
Yeah.
Kill Bill. But like all I say, he's probably Bill best stuff. Known for cutting off the cop's ear in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, you know, I would say yes, but I would say probably seen more in the Kill Bill, the couple of Kill Bills that have been out.
He was in Free Willy.
Oh, and Free Willy as well. Well, the kid's got range. He is nuts, and he put out a book of poetry. We got our hands on it, and Billy West is going to read it as God knows who after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. In his continuing quest to eradicate jerks, Dave Damashek steps into the time machine for this week in jerk history.
The year 1883. Mount Krakatoa erupts in Indonesia, killing 36,000 people. Mount Krakatoa? Jerk! The year 1940. World War II. The Germans, aka the Nazis, begin bombing London. Germans, Nazis, superior race. Jerks! The year 1530. The first Russian Tsar, Ivan the Terrible, is born. Ivan the Terrible, Ivan the Jerk!
Thanks, Dave. That was This Week in Jerk History.
The year 2006, Dave Damashek speaks into a styrofoam cup to do a bit called This Week in Jerk History.
Oh, no, that was authentic. Dave, there's a long history in my family of hunting
badgers. Dave's got a jerk list coming up, everybody. I look forward to it, and so does everyone in the Corolla house.
The Pittsburgh Penguins speaks again.
Yes. So that's coming up. Billy West in studio with us. The Tuttles coming up. The guys from Orange County Choppers, American Chopper. That show, those guys will be on coming up after Billy. When we left off, we're talking about you reading a little poetry.
We were talking about John Mark Carr.
Oh, John Mark Carr, yeah.
We figured out who he was.
Well, I figured out who he was when you walked in, but you you figured out who he is now. Who
Thanks,
is he?
Man. Here I am trying to study what you do, and I'm looking up to you, and I'm taking notes. And
sorry, Billy, I'm just saying. You
I know,
guys...
you got to tell the truth. I look like a little pervert from Thailand, right?
If I was describing, listen, if you were describing John Mark Carr, you'd be like, well, he has reddish hair, it's straight, it's medium length, he's white in complexion, he's a little bit small in stature, he's a thin man, he has sort of a sharp facial features, he does the voice of Paul Lynn and sings an acoustic guitar.
You know, you get a point there.
But no, you guys both toe-to guitar around with you.
All right, while we're at toe-to-toe honesty here. No, I think groin to groin. No, Mark, what's his name? John Mark Carr. There are always three names, and I can never
figure
out. I
didn't give my kid a middle name for that very reason.
Three names means clock tower and high-powered rifle.
Yeah, and if you go with Ray is the middle name,
oh, God, yeah.
Then you just hand him a sniper's rifle right now, right out of the womb. Don't even cut the umbilical cord.
Well, John Mark Carr looks like, remember Bruce Davis and that actor, that blonde guy that played in Willard, the rat movie?
Yes, the rat movie.
Crazy. But he goes to the front door and he wants to get revenge on his boss, Ernest Borgnine, and he brings all the rats with him. Yes. He's like this Pied Piper, and he goes up to the door and he goes... And Borgnine peeks out and he goes, "Holy jumping Hannah, look at all the rats." And he goes, "You made me hate myself, but now I like myself. Tear him up!"
And the rats go nuts. Oh, he does the rat too.
That was Tom DeLay.
I read many years ago that they put peanut butter on all the stuff that they wanted the rats to devour. That's how they got the rats to chew through the door. I guess they covered Ernest in Skippy or something, and they all jumped on him.
The Warners that gave him a contract made out of peanut butter.
Tag it. Yes. Oh, I want rodents to do my bidding. You've arrived, ultimately. I mean, it's great to have a trophy wife, and it's nice to have a couple Academy Awards, but when rodents do your bidding, when you point at someone and you'll devour them, my precious, and they all just
Maybe we should put peanut butter on Tad's computer. Maybe it'd do some work.
Yeah. We'd play his fantasy baseball.
Did you ever win an award?
No.
No Emmy or anything?
I did win a Lucite. Somewhere in the mid-90s, somebody decided that all awards needed to be made out of the stuff we make stripper shoes out of now.
Lucite.
Big Lucite wedges.
Bank windows.
Somehow someone decided, the stuff that the Indian guys behind, the Lexan, the ballistic glass that the guys behind at the Chevron station, Marlboro, no, not the lights. No, menthol. No, I don't want a Snickers. You're talking through the hole, the change hole. Get the Snickers.
No. Put the cash in the thing.
I want a Snickers.
Okay. Don't call me that.
I want the Marlboro. I want the ultralight 100s.
Pinkies.
No, the lights, the 100s.
You want nibs?
No, okay.
Sun?
You know, it's funny. Eventually you give up. The guy reaches for the cools and you're like, yeah, okay, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's got you got a Mr. Pibb instead of a Dr. Pepper.
How about matches?
How about
that's
can
20
I
minutes.
Use your restroom?
Can I use the bath? Can I use the facilities?
No bathroom.
I saw the bathroom. But I saw a guy with a turban leaving it just minutes ago.
Go, here's a bottle. Go take a leak.
Can I have a $100,000 bar?
Yep.
20 on pump number 3.
I don't gamble. So, this is not a racetrack. It's a gas station.
It's great, yes.
It's a snack station.
Everybody should move out to L.A. so you can talk to somebody through a change drawer. That's how we communicate now. And in the future, it's not just going to be banks and mini marts. It's going to be all communication.
I will speak
to my children through a change drawer.
Well, you know what it is? Dad,
I'm going to college. What? I want to introduce you to my new girl.
Oh, jeez, I thought you were gay.
Speak into the drawer, son. I can't hear you.
Lower the cone of silence.
That's how you give him his allowance. You slide it under.
At first, they put little holes in it so you could talk to the person mouth to mouth.
It's like a lazy Susan kind of.
You have to wait for the guy's voice to come out the drawer. Dad.
Oh.
You slide it forward.
Oh. Well, you want your money, but this is hard-earned. Money don't grow on trees, my friend.
You want to borrow the car? I'll put the keys in the drawer and slide it to you. Your allowance will come in change form, slid in the drawer. And then it's so pathetic when the guy won't slide you your candy bar until you drop the buck in. He's standing there with the candy bar.
Yeah, really. Guard that bottom line.
You got a Mercedes parked out there, but that's your gig. You grab those candy bars and you head for the border. Yeah, that's what I do. Yes,
hey, Freddie wouldn't give you the Twinkies.
Wait a minute. Here's my award.
What is your award?
Well, it's a shine award. I know this conversation started 20 minutes ago. I won a shine award. It's a big chunk of lucite from the it's the media project. They give it to you if you're on TV and you talk about safe sex and stuff like that. And we used to win one every year when we would do Loveline.
Withdrawal method?
I don't know. It's very very random and very, very confusing. But
abort the mission.
We tell kids to put a condom on and I'd pick up one of these lucite, you know, triangles every year. The thing that's funny about this is, well, I took a Sharpie to Caroline Ray's name because it was her show. She was on the episode that we talked about wearing the condoms. So it was the Caroline Ray episode. But Caroline Ray's name is in bold print and my name isn't. So every time someone would come over, they'd say, why do you have Caroline Ray's lucite triangle? And I'd say, no, it's not hers, it's mine. And eventually I took a Sharpie and went over her name with it. It's pathetic.
I've never won. I've been nominated for an Emmy, I think. I won an Emmy award-winning show, which was Futurama. But I was giving away Annie Awards. That's the animation award one night. And I had to say that everybody's all nervous. And I said, look, you know, they say that being nominated is just as good as getting the award.
Mm-hmm.
No, it ain't.
Right.
Because what would you rather have in your hand during a home invasion robbery? You know, this big thing that could split your melon open, you know, like a Grand Canyon, or a piece of paper that says, this is as far as you're going. Oh, and everybody in the music award, I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank God. God's up there on award time. He says, I'm going fishing. What are they thanking me for all this crappy music for? I'd like to thank God.
Well, Billy is going to be doing... Well, actually, I know you're going to be reading from... Michael Madsen's a poetry book. The last time you were here, you did a little Howard Stern doing the live reads, which delighted
me.
Want
me to read poetry over
no
the music?
Do we have... Now, what kind of music would they play when
they
Stern
play
would do
like
those live?
Old Ventures.
Yes, that
you know, Booker T and the MGs.
That's how it would go.
Surf music.
Yeah, now see, I got to do these live reads, but I'm new. So
do you,
I
have
got,
one, do you have one to read, or should we just...
Well... I'll be doing it next commercial break, I'm sure, but I have to put my heart and soul into all these things. I can't mail it in. I'll be fired. I have no cachet around here.
Yeah.
But I notice that Stern, especially toward the end, would just kind of they kind of get through them a little bit, you know.
All right, what is this, Panasonic? All right, it's Panasonic. Ah, Panasonic. Three times the contrast. I don't even know what it is. Is it a TV?
See, oh, I can't say that.
All right, three times the color. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what you want. That's right. Clearest, sharpest picture ever. Yeah, so I can watch those B movies on, what do you call it there? What is it, TNT?
TBS.
TBS? DOA? Makes plasma TVs from 37 inches to 103. That's 103 inches, I guess. Hey, Robin, you know when you got cancer and you're farting blood?
See,
and you can't leave the house. This is what you want to watch. The Panasonic Plasma Concierge program gives you priority scheduling for service and great service over the phone. So Panasonic is America's best-selling plasma brand. I didn't know that, but I know it now. Visit your local retailer. Go to Panasonic.
$1 million a year and he can't say Panasonic.
All right.
Oh, go to Panasonic.
I'm sorry, Billy.
Go to Panasonic for more information. Panasonic.com. Do it today.
Thank you. I need you to read a few of those before you leave today.
Oh, yeah.
Billy West in studio. BillyWest.com is where you go. Yes, quickly, we'll read the book of poems by Michael Madsen, the troubled actor.
He is. They're all troubled, though.
Yeah, but the ones that write poetry are more troubled than the ones that write children's books. The ones that write children's books are just blowhards. The poetry ones are strung out on heroin.
There's only one reason to be angry if you're an actor is if you're not working, you know. But this guy is like, he's got a book, he's in shows and everything. He's got the studied look on the cover like, you know, I'm trouble. He's got like slight pockmarks and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, and it's not a pamphlet. It is, looks it's like home. 250, 300 pages over there.
He must be Irish.
Mads you know, cause we have
that lyric, that sense of lyric and prose and...
Yeah, and sure. The booze. You mix that with the booze.
So you get Yeats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right. Or Chaucer.
Yeah.
So this says Beating.
Beating is the name of the poem?
I just opened up the
randomly
book and it says Beating, so he must be a tough guy.
He's like, why do some men ask for a beating? You can see it in their faces. You know, they need it. I beat a guy with a tire iron once.
You know what? I said that this morning after I got rear-ended last night in Arleta. You know, the guy just screwed. He just left.
Really?
He hit me and ran off.
Oh, well, I thought it was a night at a gay bar. When I hear rear-ended in Arleta, I just do
you
the math.
You can't say nothing around here. No, I get rear-ended on the road, and this guy just took off, and I'm sitting there, and I was angry for like 30 seconds. I said, I don't want to get into it. I had albums that I just bought. I'm a vinyl freak, so I bought albums. And the cops, you know, it's like, I'm 55 years old. And when the cops come up, they look like eighth graders to me.
Yeah.
You know, they're just getting, it's part of getting older, is they look younger and younger. They're like Viet Cong.
I know.
So so they come out and they go, you know, sucking their thumb and pointing a gun at you. Step out of the car, please!
I got to tell you, it was nice. You're always scared of the cops when you were 19 and you had a couple of beer buzz going and the guy pulled you over. It's like your dad or one of your dad's friends pulling you over. Now it's weird because you make 10 times as much as the cop makes, and you're 20 years older than the guy, it's weird.
You're sitting there going...
And the guy's like, hey, what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is go ahead and give me your license and registration, okay, right now, and you listen, hey, listen, Junior, why don't you hop back in your Mini Cooper and go bust a real criminal?
Oh,
here's
yeah.
$5. Like, that's what you want to say, because the guy looks like he's 19 and he makes 28 grand a year.
You know how you wanted all your life to say, call somebody son, call another man son? It's that time.
Tussle his hair and say, get out of here, you scamp.
All right, thanks, Columbo.
Yeah, that or kiddo.
All right, so I was reading this like a tough guy, but I'm going to...
That was good.
Since we have this gay theme going, thanks to me. I mean,
good.
You.
Good.
What was this guy, literary guy?
This isn't writing. This is just typing.
Truman Capote.
Why don't they give us something substantial to read?
All right.
Why do some men ask for a beating? You can see it in their faces. You know, they need it. I beat a guy with a tire iron once. He pulled a knife on me. Flesh knife, and I was on the business end of it. And it felt so good to break the bones in his face.
This is like Karl Rove probably writes this stuff, you know?
And see him bleed. I probably would have killed him if I hadn't stopped.
I didn't know that Droopy the dog...
Oh, yeah.
was based on Truman Capote.
No, I think it was the other way around. His parents taught him to talk like that because they like Droopy. Droopy was around in the 30s or something.
I like that. Philip Seymour Carr.
Hello, bub.
I got to find that. Yeah, because Droopy the dog does sound a lot like Capote. Truman Capote.
Stick him up.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
We need to take a break. Billy West, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
BillyWest.com is where you go.
Thanks.
And also the new DVD, Queer Duck, out as we speak. I guess if you go to BillyWest.com, you can probably find it there, yes?
Oh, I'll talk about it.
We got the Tuttles. Those are the Orange County Chopper guys. We'll be talking to them. Also, Dave's Jerk List, still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to play a Guess the Movie Quote with the Adam Carolla Show's movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Which famous movie is this scene from?
Ilya, you may play in your little dog too.
The answer when we return with more of the Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show welcomes the Tuttle family from American Chopper.
You know, sometimes it seems as though my father and brother will argue over just about anything. But when you know them as long as I have, you realize their fights are just about one thing. Who does more around the shop?
You don't have to put in as much time as me.
But I do.
But don't say you do.
I do three times what you do.
What do you do?
I do everything around
listen,
here. Everything.
Listen.
There are from spider virus to unreliable person in this shop.
Every hour I
if you were a power example to these guys, they'd all be the same way you are.
Tell it to someone who cares. Sickening.
You're sickening.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, that is me and the Tuttles. Show I watch and enjoy American Chopper. These guys are on Monday nights, 10 o'clock, Discovery Channel. Fourth big season. I think I saw these guys and spoke to them in New York. Oh, they're not on the blower yet? Well,
we're here.
Oh, you're on. ISDN line. Hey, what's happening, guys?
How you doing, Adam?
Good to talk to you. So it's Paul Jr. and Mikey in the house, right?
Yep. That's right. Yeah, we met you at the upfronts.
Yes, you guys not only love your choppers, but you love your cars as well, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
And you guys yes.
I was hoping you were going to be here so I could drive yours.
Yeah, I think I was bragging about...
Which one?
Oh, could have been the Aston Martin, could have been the Ferrari, could have been the Bugatti. DB9. Maybe it was the Delahaye. I drove a vintage Airstreamer, old Salt Flats car that set the Bonneville record. I drove that in this morning. Jet powered. Nice. That's me. What about, I want to ask you guys about the helmet law or laws. Do they have that? You guys are in New York, right?
Yeah,
or New
York
Jersey?
Has it.
New York has it.
Connecticut don't, and neither does PA.
Yeah, Pittsburgh doesn't. That's for goddamn sure.
That's right.
No, you now must wear a Steeler helmet everywhere you go.
To wear a Steeler football helmet. Yeah, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I know most bikers aren't into it, or the guys who ride the American stuff aren't into it. The guys who ride the Rice Rockets are fine with it because it's sort of part of the outfit.
Right.
In other words.
Yeah, they get to wear the full face helmet to go with the whole outfit.
Yeah, it's kind of...
You know what? It's nice when we go places and you don't have to wear a helmet sometimes, especially like down in Daytona and stuff like that when you're just kind of going on back roads and traffic slow, but... You know, it's definitely safer to have one on. I mean,
but like the ones you guys wear on the choppers,
worthless, totally worthless.
Yeah, listen, you'd be better off wearing the helmet Sergeant Schultz wore in Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're
big
right.
Point on it.
Yeah, no doubt. We wear those too.
Or a yarmulke.
Yeah, you should wear a yarmulke with extra starch. By the way, you want to get street cred, you pull up on that hog sporting a yarmulke.
Kosher hog.
That's cred. So you guys have turned into a bit of a phenomenon, and you're plugging the clothing line because that makes sense. That's what's next, right? I've seen a lot of guys already wearing your T-shirts and stuff. It's sort of like the Jesse James stuff from the Monster Garage. You see that?
Yeah, a lot of celebrities wearing those T-shirts.
You know, really, the T-shirts took off as soon as the show took off for us. But what we're doing now is we have more of a, I don't know, like a lifestyle brand. It's just nicer material along with jeans. It's a lot different from what we've done in the past. And, It's some pretty nice stuff, and we're out here at Magic now, which is the apparel show in Vegas, and that's basically what we're doing out here. We were hanging out there yesterday.
Plus, we unveiled a bike for Lugs. We did a...
Oh, for the boots?
Yeah, we did a deal with Lugs, and we're actually doing a two-hour show, and that was the unveiling that we did. We actually had the bike inside a shoebox and drove it out at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long does it take you guys to do a bike... If from start to finish. Now, if just a regular guy came in off the street, it'd be like 2 or 3 year wait, right?
You know, not really. No, we get the bikes done pretty quick. I think you know, for the shows, it's like 3 weeks to a month total to do 2 hours of television.
And that's an all out bike. That's like tricked out.
That's what you see on the shows.
But you guys,
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, do me a favor if you're heading into the apparel trade show. Go to the Sears booth and set the Tough Skins on fire. Would you? Because I am haunted by that. My childhood was ruined by having to wear Tough Skins because Pop's Corolla couldn't pony over another $1.50 to get the goddamn Levi's. So his kid had to walk around looking spastic with plastic pants and reinforced knees.
By the way, I'm looking at some of your apparel on your website, and the women's tank tops, very cute.
Yeah, no, we got some nice women's stuff, too. Yeah, they're... And they're not just tchotchke. There's some thought put into them. They're a little trendy looking, and they're real comfortable.
You got a fragrance, I notice.
Yeah, we got a fragrance.
Smells like two-stroke oil, but it's a fragrance.
Is that right? Yeah. A couple notes of oil.
Yeah,
it comes out of a grease gun.
A little bit of gasoline.
You guys fight as much as you do off camera as you do on camera, because during the show it seems like it's going to come to blows every week, and I would be scared. I'm not scared. My dad goes like 130 pounds, and I could have kicked his ass when I was in the fifth grade. But Paul Senior. Is a scary-looking man. Handlebar mustache, 20-inch guns on him. I would not be talking est if my dad looked like Paul Sr. You guys go at it when you're on the road and the cameras aren't on?
You know what? To be totally honest, we do, but it's only on occasion. Generally, it's just at work because that's where the tension is. But other than that, I mean, you know, we go out fishing. We do family things together, and there's none of that stuff really goes on. I think it's just... It's more just in the work environment, and it's been like that forever because previous to this I had a steel fabricating business, so these guys have been working for me in diapers, you know, so this is something that's a traditional thing that's going on before the bikes and still going on today.
Yeah, you know, as far as the arguments go, because that's like the number one question, I think that for the most part, if you film a show and it takes you 4 weeks... Mm-hmm. And you fight twice, and they're good fights, you know. They're inside of 40 minutes, you're going to see us have a knockdown, drag out fight.
Well,
was really inside of 4 weeks. You know what
right,
I mean? They're going
right.
to use the
You've
article.
Condensed it all into one
it's
episode.
It's not interesting, you guys sitting around having tea.
The thing about blue collar guys that a lot of people don't know is they argue anyway. I mean, construction sites and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of, hey, dillweed!
Yeah.
What are you, high? Get the F over here! You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, which doesn't go on in the white collar world. You think it, you want to say it, you snipe at each other via the emails and stuff like that. But they get insulting and or threatening. When I used to work construction... Every foreman I had would immediately throw down if you said anything back to him or anything, if you talked back to him.
Yeah,
no, you guys are not only blue-collar guys, but you're family members. So it's definitely game on. I think we have a clip. I think we have a clip of a good fight here.
All you do is do one thing, fabricate bikes. I do 50 things.
That's not true.
No,
because as I'm fabricating, you're screaming, call this guy, call that guy, get on the phone.
You're going to do it
anyways, because you freak out, because
you
pretend like you're busy.
Delusional.
90% of the time, this is you. Are you done yet?
I'll rewind.
See my size 12? Are you done yet?
And that was fishing. That wasn't even from the show. We just mic'd them up when they were relaxing. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Hey,
the
thanks.
Tunnels.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Paul Sr., Paul Jr., and, of course, Mikey. American Chopper, Monday nights, 10 o'clock. The Discovery Channel, fourth big season. And look for their apparel.
Yeah.
You go to the, I guess, go online and find it. It's everywhere. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. The Jerk List
coming up.
Ready? Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready.
Are you primed? You ready
and
to go?
Then some. Let's do it.
We'll do that after this.
It's time to play a Guess the Movie Quote with the Adam Carolla Show's movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Which famous movie is this scene from?
Here you may pray in your little dog too.
The answer when we return with more of the Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to Guess the Movie Quote. Did you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Here you may pray in your little dog too.
If you said The Wizard of Oz.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
You're correct. Thanks for playing. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I had no idea.
Somebody said you have the entire Labor Day weekend to come up with the correct answer, or we put you to death. You would be dead.
I would say kill me now so I don't have to think about it over the long weekend. But it's the same when I'm trying to get Ozzy to do some work around my house, too. He's in my yard right now. I guarantee. I called my wife driving. That's the sound Ozzy makes when he wants to find his wife in my house. That's Ozzy actually doing. He has a sound for his wife.
She does have a name, though, right?
Sylvia.
Cleaning lady number two.
You could just shout out Sylvia and...
Well, there could be three or four other Mexican chicks named Sylvia that are hanging around my house that could come running.
At any given time.
He wants your wife, yeah. That's the sound he makes after I cut him the check on Friday and it's time to leave.
Do you think as he's working in your yard right now, do you think he's listening to you on the radio?
I don't know. No, I will go with no. But when I called my house yesterday on the ride home, I was driving home from work, called the house to hook up with the old lady, and Ozzy picked up the phone.
Really?
Just picked it up. I thought I'd called him for a moment and then realized.
How's he answer it?
What do you think?
I have no idea.
Wow. Wow. It's going to go a lot of ways.
It doesn't, it's not like.
Through the you and the world.
Alan's home.
Yeah, it's not Corolla residence. No, definitely not.
I am falling.
No. All right, now where were we? Yes, well, it has been brought to my attention moments ago that it is Bill, the board op's, birthday, 34 years gay. Today, how old are you, Bill?
37. Yeah.
Fresh as a daisy. The reason, and then
I
asked quickly, because Jimmy's character on Crank Anchors, if anyone wants to know what Bill the board op looks like, all you have to do is Google in Terrence from Crank Anchors. Yeah. That's Jimmy's character, and you take a look at his gay assistant character that he would do on Crank Anchors. That's
very nice.
Pretty much what Bill the board op.
He looks sort of like Bill the gay board op before his addiction to meth. Yes, a little more
Bill
haggard version of Terrence.
Yes.
Thank you.
Didn't you also say he looked like the guy from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
He looks like the dentist who befriends the snowman.
I was looking at myself in the window at the gas station the other day, and I saw that. I saw who you saw. And
sad.
I said, good Lord, he's right.
Yeah.
Why hasn't anyone told me that?
That's why you should... I always say you should never pump gas when you're high.
When will I?
It is sad. Well, there's a couple things that are sad about our appearance. One is after I've seen the 10th picture of me and declare these are all horrible pictures, eventually I have to admit, well, maybe it's a subject. Yeah. Like you go, oh, this is horrible. I look fat here. No, I don't think so. I look like a Brillo head here. Yeah, this is nothing but buck. I look like I have buck teeth. And I look like I have a triple chin. No, I look like I have a Mr. Potato Head here. The camera's just a device. It's like a recorder. It's like hearing a recording of your voice and going, I sound nothing like that.
You could do one worse. See the moving pictures.
You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Take a look at yourself playing basketball. You think you did a nice crossover and then nailed it from 18 feet? Oh, it's in slow motion.
Yeah,
it's worse. Your fat gut barely elevates 3 inches up off the ground.
It's as if Rudy was retarded in that movie. Not only small in stature, but had some sort of learning disability and was attempting to dribble a basketball. It is sad. I was just thinking about this. Watch yourself doing anything. Watch. Oh, and you know when they do that, hey, let's make a porn movie?
No.
I've seen my golf swing. I do not want to see what I look like humping.
Unless they're getting Spielberg's DP to light the porn, amateur porn, no.
Yes, it is exactly right. Watch a tape of you swinging a golf club, playing a little hoop, just a softball. Whatever's in your head, I guarantee, is not in the lens. Ah, yes, we have a nice big picture of Terrence now. Can we hear a little
bit? Hi, what's your name?
Ball?
Ball? Uh-huh. Hi, Ball. I'm Terrence. I am Jared from Subway's assistant.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be making an appearance at your store. When he goes into the store, what we'd like you to say is... Jared, how are you? What a pleasure to see you. Greet him warmly. Greet him like every... He comes in there all the time. He's in there 3 times a week. Also, if you could compliment Jared on how nice and thin he looks, say, wow, you look great. You're fit. You're muscly. You're muscly.
It would... You know, okay? The thing was amazing about Terrence...
We are also
going
to need everyone to sing to Jared.
Is...
Ball.
He would call a taxidermy shop in Battle Creek, Michigan, and say, I'm Oprah's assistant. She's coming by this afternoon. Oh, okay. Wow. This is great news. All you'd have to do is call anybody and say you were their assistant and just say, Mr. Gandhi will be coming by your shop. And everyone would be like, oh,
terrific.
Well, I'll start straightening up immediately. And then it was a list of demands, and it started off with, try not to look them in the eye, and then it went down to the absurd, and the people would be writing it down as fast as they could. Somehow the assistant calling and saying, if you call and said, I'm Bill Cosby, no one's going to buy it, but if you call and say, I'm his assistant, then everyone's in.
Well, we'll put the picture, the before and after Bill pictures. We'll put Terrence on one side, the before, and then the Bill after he found meth.
Happy birthday, Bill.
It would be Bill, the board up. Terrence and David Spade, I think, would create.
Yeah.
If they had a gay son, or they were gay first and then created a gay son, I think it would be Bill, the board up.
Is that if?
Yes,
Bill, do you have any birthday plans for yourself tonight?
Emil poppers, a smart cocktail, and tomorrow's taking a me day.
And I was gonna let Jimmy use me like the real puppet out on Hollywood Boulevard.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, really. Are you and your life partner?
We're gonna go to a movie and have a little sushi. I'm actually eating raw fish on my birthday.
Huh. Ironic.
Wink, wink.
Oh, sweet irony.
And what movie are you gonna see?
I don't know. Something R-rated.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out, but something R-rated. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I hear that Little Miss Sunshine is good, although I will not support low-budget movies, so I can't see that.
My boyfriend won't pay attention to it, and he'll make me
How about Pirates of the Caribbean? You guys love pirates.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, that actually might be what we settle on.
That's essentially your Johnny life Depp. On the high seas.
Johnny Depp, Orlando Bloom.
Eyeliner.
Wearing those billowy blouses, the eyeliner.
Showing
the sword, really just a symbol of the phallus. Swinging it around, hanging out with other dudes on a boat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there That's should be movie. More gay pirates. You'd be Whitebeard.
Eventually.
All right. We can't do any better than Whitebeard. We need to take a break. But I'll tell you what we're going to do when we come back. We got a little something called the Jerk List.
Run now, jerks.
Yeah. I love this bit. We will take a quick break and back with the Jerk List after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame! You're a jerk. Oh.
The Jerk List.
There's too many jerks. Jerk, jerk, jerk! Shame!
The Jerk List.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, the Jerk List coming up. My favorite part of the week. But speaking of favorite, on the phone, the Queen of Mean. Lisa Lampanelli.
Hey, Adam Carolla, what's up?
Great to talk to you, baby doll.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me on, because I bumped into your fat guy at the LAX yesterday.
Our big guy.
You ran into Fat Ted. You bumped into him at the airport.
Well, the thing is, he recognized me, and I was trying to avoid him because I, like, attract fat guys. And then I remembered it was the guy from your show, so I talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to Reno for a rib-eating contest, which is weird because he's not black. And also weird because, what is he, turning your show into a Z Morning Zoo?
Well, it is. And it's also pathetic when you run into a 350-pound guy and he tells you he's heading out of state to eat ribs competitively.
It's a little on the nose.
It's a little on the nose, yes.
Yeah,
Where were you heading or coming back from, or were you just there eating at the Cinnabon?
Sadly enough, I'm headed to Reno, too. I'm in Reno now at the awful improv at Harvey's. So I was doing my penance week here, and I'm going to be here all week. So he goes, "Don't call and plug your show." I'm like, "Hey, stupid, I don't have a bonus structure there. I'm not going to plug that."
Yes.
You know, Adam, we're whores. We don't need this.
No, we don't. Yes, we are. And so, Lisa, I'll plug it then. You're going to be performing in Reno?
Yeah, all weekend improv at Harvey's. But I'll tell you, I really wanted to call in because I wanted to say hi, and I haven't talked to you in a while. Did you see the Shatner roast? I wanted to talk about that.
I TiVo'd it. I've not gotten around to watching
it yet. You were very, very funny.
Did you like it?
I thought you were hilarious. Is there anything that we, horrible, that we didn't hear that wasn't aired from the roast?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there was some stuff that was just too brutal, like I said to Farrah, because you know what's awful? Farrah came in and she didn't look as bad as everybody thought she would.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all scrambling, oh, should we do the ugly let herself go bits? And
right,
I was like, screw it, I'm doing it. Because like back in the 70s, you'd see Farrah Fawcett and you'd think Charlie's Angel. Now you look at her and think Charles Manson, you know? They cut that out, though.
Well,
and then I said I wasn't going to screw with her because she could take a punch. They cut that out, too.
Did anybody... I was wondering, because I've done a few of those, too, and everyone does 18 or 20 minutes up
right
there, and they whack it down into 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Lisa Lampanelli is excellent. I mean, when you're there and you're sitting up on the dais, you can really appreciate it. When you see it on TV, they'll cut everyone up to look mildly amusing for 3 minutes.
Exactly.
But Lisa is great on the show, and especially live. Did anyone, and it is brutal and uncomfortable. Like, I did the Hugh Hefner roast a week after 9/11 in New York, and Gilbert Gottfried did 20 minutes on the planes flying into the towers and laughing hysterically.
Exactly. And the thing is like that, and at the Hefner roast and at the Drew Carey one, and all of them, somebody bombs miserably, right?
Sure.
But I swear to God, I'm not going to lie to you. No one bombed at the Shatner roast. I don't know what happened, but everybody pulled something out of their ass. There was stuff they had to cut out for time.
Out of George Takei's ass.
George was great. Yo, everybody killed. Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt
live. I said, listen to me. Your act has caused more moments of silence than September 11th. I said, you stink as a stand-up comic. I think he is horrendous. And I told him to his face. And he's ugly, too. The guy don't need a makeup artist. He needs a miracle worker, okay? So, I said, he killed. And I go, man, sometimes with these roasts, you pull it out of your ass and you do great.
Yeah, well, he is the equivalent to the broadside of the barn. Shatner is in terms of the targets for the roast. But let me ask you this, something I was wondering, because as I said, people will talk about everything and it'll just get cut out.
Right.
Did anyone bring up his dead wife floating in the swimming pool?
No, well, that's the thing. Every roast, I don't know if you know this, there's a rule. Like, there's always something that the subject doesn't want you to joke about.
Mm-hmm.
So last year with Pam Anderson, she didn't want us bringing up hepatitis C.
Oh!
Which is why I had to cut out my joke that her and Tommy Lee registered at Bed Bath & Beyond in the Center for Disease Control. You know, couldn't do it.
I didn't even get that memo.
Yeah, oh, well, they probably figured you're a nice guy, but they told people like me and Greg Giraldo because they figured we're vicious animals. So with Shatner, you weren't allowed to mention his dead wife in a pool.
All right.
Was that the only topic you couldn't mention?
Yep, which I thought was pretty gentlemanly. I mean, we brought up everything else. But me, man, I can't wait till I'm roasted. I got no subject off limits. I swear to God, I can't wait.
Well, we will relish the day when the roaster becomes the roasted.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in, Lisa. Dave is chomping at the bit. He's got his jerk list, and I don't want to get put on it.
Absolutely. I love you guys, and tell your people to go to insultcomic.com.
Well, I think you just did, and we'll see you in studio when you when you're in town next.
Absolutely, man. Love you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Lisa also looked beautiful at the roast, I should mention.
She has dropped 60 pounds over the last year and a half or something.
Yeah, she looked great on the roast.
Yeah. But now, let it begin, as David would say.
Matter of fact, a late addition to this week's jerk list. Lisa Lampanelli for delaying the beginning of the inevitable.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
She stole your thunder,
Queen
David.
Of the mean, they call her.
That's right.
I call her jerk. All right, number four. The Raiders for signing Jeff George. Did you see that this is what they did?
I heard they
All
did,
All right,
yeah.
So you're going to suck this season. That much is clear. But do you have to draw attention to yourselves a week before the season bringing in a 63-year-old man with a mullet and a pot belly? You know, you're going to suck, but at least have let the players and fans suck in quiet dignity. Don't draw attention to yourselves, yes?
Well, it is sad when you see the 45-year-old fat guys with the face paint and the styrofoam horn sticking out of their helmet up there getting an ass whooping by Cincinnati.
Yes, particularly embarrassing. All right, a special treat for number three.
Wait, you shoot him.
You got to shoot him.
Oh, I didn't shoot him.
Oh, you might have to put yourself on.
I think Brian... Insubordinate.
You gotta yell jerk.
Blaster, all right. Blaster, Damashek. Jerk! And now the Raiders for Jeff George. Jerks! All right,
there
now,
we go.
I'm so excited. That's why. my head's racing because it's time for the first ever jerk reenactment.
Wow.
That's right. Yesterday, apparently all of CBS, or maybe that's a lie too, at least our show suddenly is going through annual evaluations. Conducted by one Mr. Jack Silver. Oh, illuminating stuff, to be sure.
Like, did you have yours yesterday?
Yes, I had mine yesterday.
Yours? And, you had to go in and be evaluated.
Yes, with
like
Jack Silver.
Like a house painter telling Picasso what to do on a canvas.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you. Now, let it begin. Jack Silver and I are about to engage in this reenactment. All right, here we go. Hello, Jack Silver, program director. Let's do this evaluation.
Dan, the sports guy, good. Let's go. Let's get this party started.
Okay, I'm all set.
All right, Dan, listen. I've seen better. I've seen worse.
My name's Dave, first of all.
All right, that's it. Bing, bang, boom. We're done.
That's it?
That's it, buddy. Scram. Get the juke rod in here and read the news.
All right.
Wait, before you leave. Honest. What's Adam like?
He's a cool guy, funny guy.
Really? Same as off the air as he is on?
Yeah. Swell fella.
Tell him, do me a favor, do me a solid.
Sure.
Tell him the Jack man says hi. No, don't tell him. It's a weird. Unless you think it's a good idea.
Whatever you say, Jack.
Hey, you think he likes me? I mean, I know he likes me, but you think he likes me?
I guess he does.
How the hell do you care? Send me the Jew broad. Or give me Bruska's ear. We're good things.
In other words, Jack Silver. Jack! Nicely done, Jack.
Yeah, yes. Solid.
All right, now, enough with the hardcore stuff. Now, let's have a little, bring a little light to the proceedings. The coveted get out of jerk free card.
Yeah.
Guess who gets it? God.
Again?
It's been a mixed bag for him. Yes, thank you. You know, this summer he's been up, he's been down. He got the get out of jerk free card for not raining on Pittsburgh during the All-Star game, which I appreciated.
God did, yes.
Yes, but then he had to cash in that card the following week because I realize he's been giving me a pot belly and making me lose some hair.
I think that's the kegerator that's been doing that, David.
Careful with yourself.
The point is, God's at 500 of now.
Well, it turns out as we near summer's end, he's gonna get the get out of jerk free card. I noticed he laid some tornadoes down a few days ago on Cleveland, Minnesota, and Michigan City, Indiana. I don't like the names of these cities, and clearly God doesn't like what man's done either. It's confusing. Cleveland, Minnesota? You say Michigan City? Good for you, God. Give it to the people who deserve it, who come up with those dumb names. You got it.
I have said many times, you know, the Rochester, New York, and Rochester, Minnesota. Too confusing. They have to do battle, get the toughest guy from each city, and have them go at it, and then they get the name. The other, change the name to Wussville, or Pittsburgh or something like that. Talk about a pay-per-view. You would have, let's see, Salem, Oregon, Salem, Mass going at it. I mean, it'd be a battle royale, and there's as many different names as there is cities that so many match up. It'd be great. Orange County, the guys from Orange County Choppers. There's an Orange County.
In New Jersey.
And, of course, we have our own OC
I like where your head's
toughest
at.
Toughest guy from the OC going at it.
There's a Pittsburgh, California.
Right. Well, we would make quick work of them. We would just send over the Steel Curtain defensive line to take care of that whole town. Anyway, all right. Now, moving on.
Yeah, Washington State versus the Capitol.
Ooh.
And imagine if the Capitol lost. How embarrassing. Our Capitol, the White House, it's in Wussville.
All right, here we go. People who call other people jerks. All of a sudden, people are doing it. I don't know if you heard earlier this week that Joe Theismann, he was on ESPN, and this got a fair amount of play in the sports world, that he was talking about T.O., and here's what he said about him.
I'm just disgusted with this guy. I mean, he's a jerk. He's just a flat-out jerk the way he conducts himself.
All right, and then that led me to do a little cursory check. You know, he's throwing around, jerk, T.O.'s a jerk, this and that. All right, Theismann, cool it. That's my bag.
Yeah, it's your scene.
Then I check into it, and listen to this.
Thanks for setting me up, you jerk.
You dated a guy who was a jerk.
The father's a jerk.
Jerk. You're a friggin' jerk.
You are a little
jerk,
peckerneck.
Jerk. Jerk.
It
jerk,
is 16 till
jerk,
the hour.
Jerk.
Kid's a real jerk, man.
They're stupid jerks.
That jerk in Mariposa Street?
Jerk.
I could see that Carl had shapeshifted into a jerk.
How am I supposed to write a song with that stupid jerk?
Jerk!
What kind of a jerk?
All right, listen, I appreciate
it. Was ripping you off. That happened, by the way, with me and the word and.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you feel my pain. Listen,
yeah,
I'm
that
not,
was my word.
I don't mean to come down on these people. I appreciate the effort. I understand that their hearts are in the right place doing it. Believe it to a professional, please. That blaster is not a toy.
That's right. Someone is going to...
That fake sound effect blaster is not a toy. You're not following protocol. Help me help you. In the meantime, ignorance is not an alibi, and therefore you are jerks! All right, well, that brings us to number one, Creep of the Week.
I love this song.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, he or she is the creep of the week. All right, well, last week I made mention of the New York Times columnist, Jamie Dimon, who wrote An Evening Out with Adam Carolla. And I tagged along with Carolla, and she, you know, along with praising Carolla for being a comic genius, so on and so forth, also took a sidetrack to mention that I had a pie face.
She said round, I think.
Yeah.
I can read between the lines.
Sure.
She called me a zero head. A zero as a human being. Now, we tried to track her down. She's refused. That alone, after being named Creep of the Week last week, you think she would want to answer for herself? No, not enough. Then, with a little research from one of our listeners, apparently she's got a little track record for evaluating people's appearances.
Ooh.
She calls the very funny Will Arnett. She says he has small, delicate features and a long, oval face, and he looks like a 1950s plaster mannequin. What?
That's not and mean. Then, is that mean?
And then Javier Bardem, the actor... She says of him, he has a big head and an equine presence.
That means horse-like.
The horse?
Yeah, she's saying he has a horse head. That's almost as bad as being called a pie head.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Jamie Dimon. You like to put labels on people. I got one label for you. Creep of the Week! And I just want to say one more thing about this. She's now two in a row Creep of the Week. Unprecedented were it not for the fact that Barry the Creep, nine straight Creep of the Weeks some months ago before becoming the inaugural member of the Creep Hall of Shame. Brusca knocking on the door as well with his two tags for being a jerk.
Yeah.
But Creep of the Week, one more lady, you're into the Hall of Shame.
Wow.
And that's that.
Tough words. No.
Oh,
I'm done. What do you want me to say?
Good times.
I thought we had an end on that
thing.
Yeah,
it seemed like there's something that comes at the
end.
It
never ends, Carolla.
No, it
does
not.
It goes on and on and on.
I know. I wish
it would.
I mean,
the hunt.
There's no end to the jerk list, huh?
We've always ended it with applause. We'll come up with something. Okay. Oh, wait, I got a good end to it. Carolla's a jerk! There we go.
All right.
For criticizing.
T.
Yes.
What's in the news?
Well, we are going to discuss John Voight. I think he's aware that his daughter is Angelina Jolie, but he may not be aware of what his grandkids' names are.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an idea, but we have some audio of him that you just simply must hear. And also, celebrity duets last night. If you missed it, I will recap it.
Well, as I said, I watched it for 4 minutes, and it was as if a locomotive crashed into an abortion clinic. That's all I could think of. Yeah, it was bad. Leah Thompson was singing with
Randy Travis.
Randy Travis. I can't think of two people I'd like to watch less.
Caroline
than,
in the City, right?
Yeah, yes. it's like taking your two least favorite foods and combining them into one souffle. Oh, we've taken jicama and liver and we've made it into one.
Two great tastes that don't taste great together.
That's right. Take a quick break. Be back with the news after this. Just to see if you
can. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, players? It's Jack Silver. Hell of a show for you tomorrow. NFL analyst Joe Buck. Also, it says here Terry Bradshaw. Hey, that's the hot broad from Sex and the City, right? Sweet boobs. What? No. Football. Not sure what team he played for, but we got Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. And, of course, my homeboy, the Def Frat Guy. It's going to be sweet. Late.
Don't miss it. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, we're back, and it is time to do the news with Jew Broad, Teresa Strasser.
Well, President Bush finished up a 2-day trip to Louisiana and Mississippi. He was there to commemorate the 1-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Bush gave the residents a little bit of a pep talk.
This anniversary is not an end. And so I come back to say that we will stand with the people of southern Louisiana and southern Mississippi until the job is done. Strategery.
Yeah, look, no one's buying it. Just keep moving. Stay in the White House. Or like I said, what's he got, a year and a half left on his contract?
Something like that.
Can't be.
Contracts.
Yeah, look, whatever you're calling it, he's not going to be re-signed by this team. It's impossible.
No, he'll be traded.
He'll be traded. I would do the remaining 18 months with my pants around my ankles.
Okay, John Voight, heading into entertainment news here, obviously. John Voight's daughter, Angelina Jolie, and he have had a pretty well-publicized falling out. Website TMZ.com has a video of John Voight sending out a happy birthday message to Angelina Jolie's son, Maddox, who turns 5. Now, he knows who Maddox is, but he has a little trouble with some of the other names in the family.
Maddox just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Maddox. 5 years old. It's a big one. 5 years old, you're going to be a young man. And I send my love to you, and I send my love to Shakira and Shahira. Is it Shahira? Shahira. What? Shahara. I'm going to start all over again.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with things that are taped, it's hard to start all over again. It'd be nice.
Yes.
Look, here's the deal, and I'm going to apply it to my own life. You cannot F with your daughters. They have minds like killer whales, and they will make pops pay for the rest of their lives. He abandoned her. He took off, banging some starlets, doing the Hollywood scene. Now, the guys, if you have a young son, they end up like you, and therefore, they let you off the hook. Because eventually they crap out a kid or two that they ignore, and they're banging a couple of cocktail waitresses, and then they're like, Pops, I know what it's like to be 30, to be a star, and not want to go home to the same broad every night. So all's forgiven. Let's have a booze. But the chicks don't do it.
So what you're saying is the John Mayer song is really some words to live by. Be good to your daughters.
I'll tell you, women have minds. Teresa, please take this in the spirit in which it's intended. They are like 50s British automobiles. Very beautiful, delicate wiring. Very delicate wiring. Cannot leave them outside. Once they get rained on, they get screwed up and then they misfire. And when you take your daughter and you abandon her or you molest her or you screw with her, that's it. She's scrambled for the rest of her life. The guy just gets aggressive, ends up going into the UFC and banging a lot of chicks. But the girls, It's like leaving a Steinway out in the rain.
It's warped, and yeah, it will never be in tune.
For a guy, it's like leaving a horseshoe out in the rain. Just gets a little rust on it, but no big deal.
You miss a couple dance recitals. Next
That's
thing you know,
it. And you will then be punished for the rest of your life.
And then daughter's carving her own blood just to feel.
The good news, yes, just to feel just something. To feel the good something. News is they will act out. And they'll be sexually inappropriate just to shame dad, and you will be the benefactor of that, all the rest of the guys out there.
True. Now, let me get to this quickly. You may remember when Colin Farrell was kind of attacked a little bit at the when he was doing The Tonight Show by a woman who claimed that he was stalking her. Well, now, Colin Farrell has a restraining order on Desiree Bradford, who's that woman. She didn't show up in court yesterday, but she did show up here. She's in our green room. We will have her in a minute. But before that, and just before we get to sports, I have to play you one of my favorite celebrity duets from last night's show on Fox. Here we have Alfonso Ribeiro, who was Carlton on The Fresh Prince, and Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child doing a little singing. She's good, I think.
Ooh, somehow I made it through the heartache. Mm. Yes, I did.
It's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found my well, when me and Billy West do Falling tonight, we're going to take the house down.
I was just about to say, it's almost guaranteed you're going to do season two of this show. Yes,
if you were offered to do this show.
I can't talk about it. That's
non-disclosure.
Me and David Soul.
You and Soul.
And me and Soul together at last. I'm full, both strumming the guitar. I hold one ear. That move they would do in the recording studio in the 70s. Think about summer.
Listen, I hate to interrupt this, but I'm
Starsky and Ugh.
I'm out of time. I'm Teresa Strasser.
Being the soul man. Oh, sorry, baby.
That's the news. I told Bresky I'd get out
time.
By 9:20.
It's not your fault.
Forgive Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
All right, time is of the essence. I'll be quick. The Dodgers are looking good for the playoffs. Padres are now in the wild card picture. A's running away now with the AL West. But last night, the Halos, Vlad Guerrero, hit a line drive into pitcher Rafael Soriano of the Mariners. Yeah. Head hit a line drive right into it. The doctors say he's fine, but I beg to differ. Listen to him. This is him in a post-game interview a couple weeks ago.
Colorado en espera de ser extraditado a California, donde se le acusa de pornografía infantil.
That's before he got
That's
hit.
That's before, right. And then this is him as he's leaving the hospital last night.
The members from the constituency of the foreign secretary blame the war in Lebanon. Mr. Blair faces other pressures, too, not least the issue of when he stands down.
All right, you went into English boys. I put it in there. You like that better than Ozzy singing?
Thanks, Miss Ozzy.
With you, I'm the world. So the country, I'm the free.
I liked Ozzy singing better.
I liked it conceptually. I like my idea better, but the execution,
yeah, the room tone did not match.
You're the best around.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, you showed me.
2 hours, the people, the interns were looking for a good clip.
British clip. If you were not listening during the 7 o'clock hour, Dave went a different way with the bit the first time.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, well, they both suck.
Separate but equally bad.
We can't live in the past. Desiree Bradford is waiting in our green room. She, the person who charged the stage at tonight's show, she claims Colin Farrell is stalking her.
Yeah, harassing
her. He says it's the other way around. We'll bring her in. Also, comedian Jerry Minor is in here for a little surprise. We'll unveil that after this.
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
In person. Easy on the eyes.
Very beautiful.
How would I know that?
Outgoing personality.
Charming.
Yes.
Thank you.
I can see why a star would be smitten by you.
Thank you.
And as we've talked about before, not only did you have a relationship, although not a sexual relationship with Colin Farrell, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. No, we were just friends.
You have dated other stars.
Well, Alec Baldwin, that's your friend, your buddy.
He's a dear, dear friend.
Coffee's for
kids. You made some claims about you and Alec that
you
were...
threw one in his pail, you said.
I told him the East Coast way of discipline.
Wow. It takes brass balls to sell.
Perhaps if there's time after the show, you could explain that one to me.
I'll draw you a picture. Okay.
Yes, that
these
would be
are
nice.
Allegations, we should say. Alec Baldwin has not, he's not here to defend himself.
The good news is...
Allegations would be a good name for his biography. Speaking of books, Desiree Bradford has one. Colin Farrell, A Dark Twisted Puppy. Only $35, which doesn't seem like enough, because this is a substantial piece of literature here.
How much again?
At least 62 pages.
Adam, please describe the cover art for those who aren't lucky enough to see it.
It is a, I would call a crude drawing of someone who looks like an Elvis impersonator, but I assume that's meant to be Colin Farrell, mixed with, looks like one of the masks that the Cleveland Browns dog pound guys wear.
McGruff the crime dog.
And the other half?
It's just,
the dog pound.
You really would just have to see it. I would call it crude if I was being kind.
It was just showing that Colin is half dog, half dark twisted.
I understand. I understand.
Sick puppy. Happy,
we have
happy.
We have we know we do have your song cued. This is all over MySpace now,
yes.
Right? Let's hear that.
Okay.
Sounds like it happened to Alec.
Sample the fart.
Dance. A hot choice.
Dance my song. Oh my God!
Wow.
Shake your asses. We actually took that check out. We were going to use that.
Nice. Jerry Miner, comedian Jerry Miner, is here from Lucky Louie, Sunday nights, 10:30 HBO. Congratulations on that, by the way, Jerry.
Thanks.
It's a great, great show.
I wish I could talk to you more about the show, but I'm really excited to be here because I'm your biggest fan. I love the song.
Thank you.
I love, and by the way, the court date wasn't yesterday. It was Monday.
It was Monday. Mm. Yes.
And
follow Desiree quite closely.
Well, I have ever since the Tonight Show incident, mm-hmm. alleged incident, and you mm-hmm. said, and everybody keeps saying that she attacked him. I've seen films of it, and you didn't attack anybody.
Thank you. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in Hollywood. I know a lot of people around Hollywood. So I know mm-hmm. the way these celebrities can be, and mm-hmm. and so I started investigating everything. It's case SS014577.
Wow, you know the docket number.
That's right.
Well, yeah, because I read your thing to the judge yesterday.
Yes.
And your explanation on why you didn't make the court case, and I was really upset by it because I went to Santa Monica to see the court case, and I knew that I probably should have like offered to pick you up, you know, because things like that can happen.
Yes. Jerry, hold on, you went down to the actual courthouse?
Yeah, yeah, in Santa Monica. Yeah.
But I mean, you're a pretty successful actor. It seems like, well, I don't know, you have better things to do on a Tuesday.
I mean, when I heard her story and being around Hollywood and being around a lot of celebrities, and I've mm-hmm. been to parties mm-hmm. where Paris Hilton is there, mm-hmm. and I've even been around Alec Baldwin, and I know these people,
yes.
and I'm just really interested. And after I saw Desiree's picture, and it's really pretty, mm-hmm. and her MySpace page, and we're friends, by the way.
Oh, hey, buddy, I didn't know.
Had you guys met before this?
No.
Well, I mean, kind of on MySpace because we're friends.
Yes.
But Jerry, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you can't say you're friends with someone when you just met him for
MySpace
the first time.
We're friends, yeah.
Yeah, he's my MySpace friend.
We're good friends. So.
Well, I wouldn't say good friends. I'd say you're meeting for the first time face to face.
He just feels my passion. And he can understand my vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
How often do you post on her MySpace page?
Well, I haven't posted yet because I've been kind of nervous about it, and I always wanted to talk to her. But mm-hmm. I mean, I look at it every day. And you know, and I'm there, and I see all the things that other people say, like, you know, Andy Dick's one of your friends, and Tyler, yeah. mm-hmm. and all these other people, and I made those people my friends too because I want to get close to them, just like you are close
but
to them.
Jerry, you say you look at it every day, just look at
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I look at the space, you know,
well,
the pictures.
A lot of people actually wait to see when I'm going to post new stuff.
Right,
I've been
right,
so busy.
Right, right.
It's like, you know, I've left them to their own devices to talk about me.
Again, I no disrespect, Desiree, mm-hmm. but Jerry Minor is on a successful show. He's on Lucky Louie.
Well, that's what I'm. That's why I don't know why we're not better friends. Right. Because I mean, when I became friends with her, I expect to be in the top eight, and I'm not.
I'm sorry. I'll find you. I have like hundreds of friends. Like, you know, you have to send me an email to tell me. Exactly.
Okay. See, that's what I didn't know. That's,
yeah.
But now definitely. That I know that, I'll send you an email. I'll send it. I'll keep sending it to you.
Kind of feels like she's snubbing you a little, Jerry. I don't want to start a fire here.
No, I want anyone that loves me to tell me. I love compliments.
I love you.
Well, I mean, he's here and he's saying he's one of your best friends, and yet he's not in the top eight.
I am so used to being beat up by everyone.
Me too.
So desperately trying to like make me seem like Squeaky Fromm.
Like dog poop.
I'm floored.
Like dog poop. People treat, you know.
Yeah, Louis C.K.'s tyrannical. Kicks her ass around the set every day.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, so Desiree was on her way to the courthouse, and then she ran out of gas, apparently.
Yes.
She didn't know she ran out of gas, but mm-hmm. she got stopped in the middle of Venice Boulevard, mm-hmm. and then two people came by
they
and told
me. Yes, they pushed me over from the side. No one cares 8 o'clock in the morning about someone getting stuck in the middle of the
they
road.
Don't. Mm-hmm. They don't. They don't.
Treat
like dog poop.
Driving while black.
Yes.
I know what it's like.
I was crying, and I wore my happy yellow dress. This is what I had on the day when I was driving to court.
That's happy.
So you can get the visual. I was in a very good mood. Mm-hmm. I was feeling legal eagle. I was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm standing out there with a gas can walking back a mile almost. So,
well, let me just make sure we're on the same page and reset here for a second.
Preach, brother.
Desiree is in here. Now, Desiree Bradford was accused of stalking Colin Farrell, but
that's
you say
true.
Colin
that's
is stalking you, and it
yes.
sort of seems, no disrespect, Jerry, but now it seems like Jerry Minor is stalking you.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
he's
no,
reading
no.
your
he went to
court
her house.
Transcript.
No. I've never been to her house. You still live on Oxford?
Yes. You know where
well, you
she
know
lives?
Where she lives?
Well, it's in court records and things like that.
But
somebody looked it up.
You can find it. I mean, it's easy to find where somebody's
and
at. If you really, really like them and you really want to get close to them,
but
it's,
Jerry,
it's not
this
that
is
hard.
You understand this seems
really
bordering on weird and obsessive now.
You see
now.
How my mojo works, Adam. It's like, you know, people
right.
love the lovely Desiree, okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Colin and his lawyers are the only people that pretty much can't stand me in the world.
Oh, he's such a liar. That lawyer and
the
McFarlane
good news is you're fired.
Let me tell you, Colin's lawyer, McFarlane, couldn't be happier about what's going on.
Just
I mean,
McFarlane.
He has a Porsche. He's like a 30.
Would you hurt McFarlane to help Desiree?
I mean, well, I don't want a restraining order against me, but I don't have one, so... Yeah, I mean, I'll do whatever
you'll
it takes.
You'll do her bidding. And
trust me.
You would never hurt yourself if you couldn't be with Desiree, would you?
I mean, well, I mean, that I can't say that right now.
You mean you really would contemplate hurting yourself if you couldn't be
I
with
haven't
Desiree?
Really thought, I haven't really thought about
tell
not
me,
being with
tell
her.
Tell me what's so lovely about me. Explain to the people what is so lovely about Desiree, where
okay.
Colin Farrell could wind up being on my phone line like right. he needs an AA sponsor for me.
Okay, five things.
Okay.
Okay, number one, there's a picture of you on the MySpace with the jacket
okay.
and your shirt. That's...
The
awesome.
Pink skirt.
Tell them about the joke that you have on your MySpace page, because it says favorite movies, and her joke is not Alexander.
That's good stuff.
It's so funny. It's not a movie he's in.
Wow, you really study that page, Jerry.
Every day.
It's really
funny.
It's
very exciting. Plus, I have a short skirt on. It's a cute little Philly
really
skirt.
I bet
really
nice. Jerry's not wearing pants at all when he's looking
it
at your MySpace.
Well, I'm at home. I don't have to wear pants when I'm at home.
So
I mean,
you're,
it's not against the law.
But let
so
me tell you.
Care, you're pleasuring yourself while you're looking at her MySpace,
oh,
Jerry?
Well, yeah.
You don't have to confess
wow.
secrets.
Wow, that is now officially weird.
It's not a secret.
Just
I don't
to get
make
into
it a
your
secret.
Mindset, oh, Jerry, are you and Desiree having a relationship?
No. But you can always fantasize about me. That's
Jerry,
what Colin did.
Jerry did tell me during the break that you were, in fact, having a relationship.
Jerry?
No, really?
Jerry.
When
I mean,
was this?
Well,
was
I mean,
this when you were sleeping or when you're kind of like in Twilight Zone?
Feels
no, I thought we were friends.
Well, we're MySpace friends, but if you want to love me, you can love me forever, baby. But back to Colin's lawyer, McFarlane. He's a 38-year-old
prick. Don't
be mad yet.
Jerry, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but Jerry did say he'd been to your place on Oxford outside
oh,
and
really?
He'd been watching.
Yeah, I've been by. I wasn't
Well, that's
I wasn't
cool.
going to your place.
Jerry,
I know
I
other people
say
in
that.
Let me tell you,
I know
the
other
first
people
guy.
There. I think that's illegal, by the way,
no,
to park your car in a dark street and watch someone through their window that way.
It's not. I didn't go to see her, though. I just happened to say, hey, there's Desiree's house right across the street.
I feel like maybe this is maybe a bigger problem than you think.
No.
I feel like there should almost be an intervention or something.
I don't think so.
I think this is because she's consumed your life.
Let me ask you something, Jerry. Are you going to support me in my court case September 28th against this restraining order?
I thought it was the 25th, but I'll write that down.
The
25th.
That was a work. That's a work day, but you think you can get it off?
It's the 25th. September the 25th. Jerry knows the case better than me.
Yeah.
At 8:30 in the morning.
8:30.
I'm going to finally have my day in court. The judge was sweet enough to give me another court date because I filed a motion to set aside this restraining order matter.
Let you go.
Well, for the moment, you can't go within 150 feet of Colin Farrell.
No, I can.
But Jerry can.
I can.
That's nice. Colin is not worth... it's really laughable. Colin is
I don't know why... And I don't know why you... I mean, there's other people... I'm on television. I don't know if you saw... I was in TV Guide. I was the pick of the week.
Okay.
And Colin Farrell never got that.
You know,
He's never done anything close to what I've done.
Colin is hallucinating if he thinks he needs a restraining order against me. I think he's stroking his own ego at this point.
He's not
that
great.
Not great.
I love Lucky Louie as much as the next guy, but I think this is getting a little bit sad.
You see how
I feel
it goes,
like
Adam?
I feel like we should break it off here.
Okay,
I really feel like you've crossed the line with Desiree.
Well, Desiree and I will just get out of here then.
Coffee's for closers only.
I don't think she wants to go with you, Jerry.
She didn't say one way or the other.
I think you're being a little delusional. I feel like you made this relationship up in your head. She just never met you before.
Yeah,
you're
said
parked
that you
outside of her
on the
house.
Phone and
I think you guys should just let me and Desiree sort whatever problems that we have out. And I think you guys should just do
I don't
your radio
feel
show.
Like Desiree is going to be comfortable with that arrangement.
I'd rather you stalk me, Adam.
Well, I'm not.
Ouch.
Adam's not on television.
But he's right here.
Thank you.
I mean, everyone.
Now let me get your fucking shine box.
That really is getting sad. All right, Jerry, one last attempt to make your case to Desiree, and then we got to go to break.
Okay. Well, I hate Rolanda Watts.
Okay.
She's a hoe.
Yeah. No, a Hollywood whore, actually.
Yes. And
that's what I called it.
And I just want to have lunch.
Are you going to root me on in court?
I'll be there.
Okay.
Go to lunch.
Good.
Go to lunch.
Yes.
With Jerry, would you? Just
me?
Yes, just you and him. You go to a nice midnight lunch out in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll bring the duct tape.
He'll bring the shovel.
Yeah, he told me during the break that you like East Coast style something.
Discipline.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm bad. I've been bad. I've been so bad.
All right, we need to take a break.
I've been really
Where
bad.
Are you from,
Fresca, let's walk Jerry out to the parking lot.
150
really yards.
I feel like he's crossed the line. Yeah, I think
I
you
really
should go.
Go. No,
I think you should go.
I'll just wait in the lobby then.
No, I think you should
there's
just
there's a parking lot. I
think you should just get in your car.
Okay. If you want to sit out in front of my house with roses every day for me, I appreciate it. That's what I expect from guys. Write that down in your notes.
Jerry Minor, Lucky Louie, Sunday nights, 10:30. You can also find him on Oxford Street.
You rock.
Soon as the sun goes down. Desiree Bradford, you will be in our prayers.
He kissed me.
You'll be in our prayers.
You see what I do to these guys? Hollywood guys are absolutely no different.
Yeah.
They're all my puppies, okay?
He is smitten.
Look at that.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Flavor Flav, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Well, just enough time left for a new segment we call. So, what have we learned? Well, we've learned that Bill the Board Ops pirate movie would be called Whitebeard. It's his birthday. God bless him. We've learned that cities with the same name should fight it out. Two Salems go into the cage. Only one comes out. Oh, man, would I watch that pay-per-view. And again, if you lose, you're Wussburg or Pussville or something like that. Toughest guy in each city. And what else have we learned? Well, Dave gave God himself the jerk-free card. Get out of jerk-free card.
Congratulations,
so,
God.
Therefore, Dave Damashek is more powerful than the Almighty.
Oh, thanks.
Good times.
Well, that is the show. I want to thank the Tuttles and Desiree and who the hell else? else. Billy West, BillyWest.com, Jerry Minor, Beer League, movie he's in, coming out September 15th. And Terry Bradshaw, Joe Buck, Def Rat Guy, and the list goes on for tomorrow. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.